much about...
You gotta put it in perspective.
Open wide for Chunky.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I just love hot Cheetos.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
Remember Alaska. America is now more than ever looking north to the future. And it'll be good.
Shame on you. God is looking down on you and shaming you.
I don't know who you mean.
I'll give you the same advice my father gave me the night I lost my virginity. Just pick one. They all cost the same.
For your information, I've had a lot of girlfriends. Hot ones.
You have had lots of boyfriends. Gay ones.
And now...
If I wanted to see a black guy make a fool of himself, I'd have sex with K-Fed again.
Our feature presentation.
See, because...
Right.
He's not black. K-Fed.
What?
But he thinks he is. Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Tuesday morning. What's happening?
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
What are you doing?
What's happening right now?
Sitting here at work. Pretty much like you.
It occurs to me at some point near the beginning of every show that we're talking to Lisa May, who was probably naked like an hour ago. I'm thinking, we just missed it. We were so close.
She came out of the bathroom. She was naked about 5 minutes ago. It was odd.
I had a flash.
She has a she has a costume change about once an hour. So.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Why is she going through her clothes so fast? What's going on? What's going on in there that requires a change, I wonder?
Well, if you were here, you would know, but that's you're right. Not, so just, too bad for you.
Is it just working so close to Kevin? Just get y'all
steamed
that's
up?
It.
It's
that's
the heat.
It.
It's the heat. Too
I
much
bring,
heat.
I bring the heat.
Women can't stand to stay in the same room for more than 10
true,
minutes. They
the
have
way.
To leave.
take care of business.
Not for good reasons.
For completely different reasons.
Right. Yeah. Right. All right. Let me ask Kevin, since he's our Oprah authority here on the Kevin and Bean show. Lay it out for me. Give me the schedule. What's happening here? Oprah's going off the air when and
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I think it's
okay.
Tomorrow.
It is. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think it was yesterday and today are pre-recorded, and then tomorrow is the day.
So yesterday and today, and I should have set up to record this, but those are the star-studded every celebrity in the world at the United Center in Chicago. Those are the 20,000 people were out there to see everybody.
Yeah,
right?
And that's why, and that's one of the reasons that they had to bump. A playoff game for the Bulls. They had to put,
move the time or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they had to change it for Oprah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's
so
impressive.
What happens on the last show? What is she going to do on Wednesday? Is it going to be like when Johnny Carson went away, where he just goes out and sits on the stage and just reminisces and plays clips?
Big secret. We don't know, Bean.
We don't even know if they're guests. We don't know anything.
Big secret.
But you're not going to be disappointed. That's what I hear.
It's all up to Oprah.
Hmm.
I don't know. My wife is a hardcore fan, and I just know that this week is a rough one. And,
what's she going to do?
If I'm not in Thursday, you will know that Oprah had her say.
Wow, that's going to be the real rapture.
Yeah.
Screw whatever Harold Camping is saying. It's going to be whatever Oprah sides off, right?
This one's a guarantee.
Yeah. So we don't know what the last show is going to be.
We sure don't.
Well, here's a guy who's in the news because of Oprah. He got his wife tickets for one of the United Center shows. They're huge, huge. Well, his wife is a huge, huge fan living in Ontario, Canada. And they drove down to Chicago for one of the shows that they taped last week that aired either yesterday or today. Well, it didn't work out very well for Mr. Robert Spearing, 44 years old. He ended up at Stroger Hospital reporting that two people had beat him up and stolen his tickets to the Star-Studded Farewell show.
Was he waving him around? Oprah tickets. Woo!
He was standing in the 200 block of South Wood Street, about a block from the United Center, when he said two men in their 20s, one African-American, one Hispanic, beat and robbed him. So he was in the hospital, got treated for his injuries, and went to the police to announce, to tell them what had happened so they could be on the case. Hours later, however, police said that the man changed his story and admitted he had never been attacked. He just made up the story because he had told his wife that he had tickets for the Oprah show, and he didn't.
Oh, what a dumbass.
He didn't have tickets. He never had tickets.
And if anybody's going to beat you up for Oprah tickets, it's going to be a 45-year-old woman. It's not going to be a white dude or a Mexican dude.
Exactly. He cut his own forehead with a rock and scraped his hands on the sidewalk to mimic injuries from a violent street robbery. Now, I'd love to have tape on when he concocted the idea to tell his wife he had Oprah tickets, and then how that played out and however long it took, you know, however long he said he had the tickets before they went down to Chicago to see the show. Because was he getting mad sex in the days leading up to because she was so happy or what? What was the deal?
A dumbass. I don't know. I don't even know the process. I would imagine the process for getting just a regular ticket to that show would be almost impossible.
Yes.
Well, I know they had a lottery for the United Center shows because they had hundreds of thousands of people who applied for them, and then it only held, 17 or 18,000 right. or something like that. But if he told her he was, were they having a rough patch and he thought this would cheer her up or this would make her happy? I don't know why he would say something like that. And then with dread as that date approaches, what am I going to do? I don't have tickets. I've already told her I have tickets.
So you say he dragged his fingers along the ground?
He cut his own forehead with a rock and scraped his hands on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah.
What a dumbass.
He was charged with one count of felony disorderly conduct for filing a false police report. He's being held on $20,000. Well, he was being held on $20,000 bond. A relative showed up to post the bond to get him out. And I don't know, by the way.
She wasn't the relative.
No, she definitely was not the relative. So I don't know what's going on with him and his wife now, but not good times in the Spearing household.
Wow. That's rough.
Does my butt look big?
Yeah, it's tomorrow, so that is the end of the world. It'd
be awesome
if
Oprah has him on to tell his amazing story on her final show. Would that be the best?
Yeah, but not his wife.
She doesn't get to come.
That'd be cool. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Speak English.
I have a hard time with that. You may not have heard. We are going to talk about family ruining your wedding.
Aww.
Somebody in the family ruined your wedding. And this seems to happen a lot. They get, because when you get family together, sometimes it's a nightmare anyway. Like, there's always one member of your family that everyone hates and
they
hate
everyone. Worried. Yeah, but you got to invite them.
Right. And then they start drinking. You never know what's going to happen. And it's always, it just seems like it goes wrong. So we have a couple of stories, one from Beer Mug and one that Beat and I were at, which is the best story ever.
We'll never get over that story.
Oh, so good. Beat and I had to grab the microphone from the best man who was giving his speech. We had to go, all right, thank you. Let's move on. So we'll talk about that coming up this morning. If you have those stories, we'd like to hear those. We're going to talk about celebrity genes, and this is not the genes that you wear. It's the G-E-N-E.
Oh, those kind
those
of genes.
Those genes, okay. Yeah. Ryan Leto is a guy who has created this, and you can actually get, Tom Hanks, genes from Tom Hanks. I don't know what you do with them. What do you do with them, Bean? I have no idea.
I don't know what his plan is.
You something?
Just grow another one?
I don't think.
I guess you wouldn't use it for that.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything beyond the chatter in the office, but I thought it was just, it's a novelty, is that, I have a necklace with Tom Hanks jeans in the center or something. I don't think you can actually implant them or anything like that.
Well, who knows? Who's to say? So anyway, we'll get into that a little bit more. We have, I don't know if you heard the story about Stephen Hawking saying there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
But that story's gotten a little more weird even than that with Kirk Cameron. Who is now, of course, he's a religious dude now.
He's answering back, man.
Yeah, and he says he can't really answer Stephen Hawking because he has an advantage? Or was it a disadvantage, being in the wheelchair?
I think he said he had an unfair disadvantage or something like that.
That's right.
Whatever that means.
So he couldn't really give him a real answer. But I'm sure he would have torn Stephen Hawking apart.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like in some kind of a debate. I mean, there wouldn't have even been one.
Look, I don't know why people continue to try to use logic and reason to explain religion. Like I keep saying, there's a difference between faith and fact. And you just have to accept that. You can't argue one or the other.
Yeah,
you can't convince somebody that there is a God or convince somebody that there isn't because there's no way to prove it.
Yeah,
you just have to decide whether you're going to believe it or not. That's the extent of it.
That's come up on the show many times. We said, let's do a call-in with this. Let's do a call-in with that. But then we realize there's no conclusion because the people who want to believe, believe.
Right.
Who don't believe, don't believe. And that's pretty much where it stands. But Kirk Cameron is not going to have it. He's not going to have Stephen Hawking out there flapping his gums or flapping his touchpad or whatever it is he does. We also have tickets for the Weenie Roast coming up today, and we have live music from Foster the People.
Nice.
How about that? They're going to be in the studio, and I just walked by, and I see the studio right next to us set up for a band.
Great.
But I'm also aware that they've torn that studio completely apart, and there's no equipment in there.
Okay.
So they're telling us, no problem. It'll sound great. Going to be good.
They're not going to plug into anything, but...
Well, I guess what they're going to do is they're going to run long wires from that studio into this studio. And okay. They're convinced that's going to work 100%. So you're not going to hear anything from Foster the People, but they will be playing here.
But we'll see it, and we'll tell you how it is.
Right, we'll go, wow, that was really good. You guys should have heard it. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:52.
How many people thought Kevin forgot what radio station we were on right there? How many people thought he wasn't going to pull it out?
Ooh, this one.
Can
you hear me?
Can I raise my hand?
You're listening to... Oh, come on. I know it. I recognize it. You're listening
to the radio. That's all you need to know.
What is it? I see something on my schedule for after the top of the hour called Thanks for That Tweet Bean.
I spy with my little eye the same little segment.
That's happening? We're doing that again?
Could be more excited. We don't want to do it. We have to do it.
You force our hand.
I see. All right, on the way to the Kevin DeBean Show. First, though, Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. Today's a Tuesday on the Kevin DeBean Show on, what is it? It's on, are we FM? AM? I can't remember.
You know.
We're on the shortwave now.
That's what it is.
You can pick us up on the shortwave. And the Armed Forces Radio, I believe, are also there.
And the CB.
Give a shout out to all of our boys in Iraq and Pakistan and Libya.
And Syria.
Syria. And all the other ships at sea. By the way, happy anniversary. Happy birthday to Pac-Man. I want to give a big shout out to Pac-Man.
Pac-Man Jones?
No, Pac-Man.
Oh, just Pac-Man.
You know, the little yellow dude?
Sure.
Who eats ghosts.
Right.
Pac-Man.
It's his birthday?
It's his birthday. All right. Give him a little shout out. I know he's a listener. We've had him on the show from time to time, and I just wanted to give him a big shout out.
How old is Pac-Man today?
31 years old today, Bean.
Probably not as fast.
Pac-Man was released on May the 22nd, 1980. Can you believe it was that long ago? We first saw that little yellow bastard eat those power pellets and just start kicking Major Ghost ass.
That was the last video game I played because I realized then that video games had peaked and they would never be any better than Pac-Man.
It was. That's the pinnacle of the technology right there. Pac-Man.
You nailed that.
Yep. Do you know originally it was called Puck-Man?
No.
No way.
Puck-Man.
Was it a hockey puck?
No, it's just Puck-Man. Huh. And the American buyers rejected that name for fear that the paint in the P would be easily scratched off in arcades to create an F at the beginning of his name, causing delinquency everywhere.
Like anyone would do that.
People would see the F word.
Mom, you'll never believe what game I played today.
What? So Puck-Man became Pac-Man, and the rest is history. That's it. I'm
quite
exhausted.
A momentous
that
day.
Was quite a momentous presentation. Oh, things are really heating up between CAD $HA and T-Pain. That's what the kids are calling
is
them
that
these
Kesha?
Days, right?
I don't think so. I think they're just going with Kesha.
Oh, Kesha and T-Pain? Yeah, they're in love.
What?
They're in love.
He can't do better than that?
Dude, Kesha is a party in a box.
Yeah.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, she brushes her teeth with Jack Daniels in the morning.
I hear that's true.
And she goes, hawk, 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 hawk.
Her latest one, have you heard the blow this club up or blow this place up or whatever it is being? She keeps talking about blow this up, blow this, like a club, like it's really going to go crazy because she's
going
to
go off because
she has
party.
A handful of glitter. I believe the lyrics are, I have a handful of glitter.
Is it explosive glitter? Because apparently she's blowing up.
She's just going to throw that glitter at some point and all hell's going to break loose because you know what glitter does.
You know,
I have a very strict no Kesha policy, so I must have missed that one.
You know how we know Kesha and T-Pain are in love? They were spotted this week at Larry Flint's Gentleman's Club.
Oh, there you go.
Two of them were hanging out with strippers. Apparently, Kesha loves strippers, and she was pawing all the girls and filling up their G-strings with lots of cash because she is a party, Kevin.
All right.
She's out of control.
Nothing wrong with that.
You don't even know. Does she like girls? She's like, guys, we don't know. She's too crazy. We don't know what she's going to do.
I'm just saying, not an attractive lady.
I think that lady looks like a dude would be more appropriate than that particular song right there. Gwyneth Paltrow... wants to release a CD. She was in talks with Atlantic Records about doing her own CD, but the deal broke down, according to New York Post's Page Six gossip column, because she was demanding $1 million signing bonus.
Up front.
Yes.
Hang on, Ralph, for 1 second.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Back to you.
And Atlantic Records said, oh, wait a minute, you're Gwyneth Paltrow, and we've heard you sing. So, no, we're not going to give you $1 million up front.
Look, besides that, besides the fact that she's a, you know, a new artist demanding $1 million, hasn't she looked around at the record business lately and thought, I'll be lucky if I ever sell $1 million worth of records, right? I mean,
yes.
Like, why not structure a deal where if you're very successful, then you make the money rather than have them give it away?
Wait.
It's an insane demand.
You think the woman who gives us suggestions for restaurants next time we're in Paris understands that?
Yeah. I don't think the Queen of Goop actually realizes how the rest of the world and its economy is functioning.
She probably thought that sounded low.
Yeah.
Just
$1 million.
Just let me
know you're serious. I just wanted the million.
I guess that much.
Take it in 20s. I don't care. So that deal has fallen through. Why didn't she just record and then put it up on Goop, and whoever wants to buy it can go to Goop Records and just listen to her Goop. Get some goop in your ears. There's your ad line. There's your slug line. Go for it. Who will swallow my goop?
I'm sorry?
She could say. And I would say, no thank you. I'm not interested. And Kevin, you'll be happy to know that there's another celebrity lifesaver in the news.
All right.
Dr. Phil McGraw is a real lifesaver, Kevin.
All right. I'm glad he was there in that time of need.
Apparently, his wife, Robin, was playing tennis at the Beverly Hills home of a friend last Thursday when the man collapsed mid-game. Robin freaked out, but Phil came to the rescue. His spokespeople say Phil checked the man's pulse and dialed 911.
Wow.
Yes. Thank God he was there.
What if he hadn't done that?
Then someone else would have had to dial 911.
Wow.
The man survived. Phil McGraw, lifesaver. Or Phil McGraw, phone dialer. I'm sorry. My bad.
Then he put out a press release, giving himself props for remembering the numbers.
He did, actually. You know, I've seen a news story where a cat dialed 911 once, so I don't think Phil can take too much pleasure in his success.
See, this is the perfect story that bugs me.
But this is unlike the other ones I usually tell.
Well,
usually there's
some action
involved.
Yeah, some.
Some sort of proactive response as opposed to just 911.
I guess dial 911.
Well, he's got a pulse. Let's just dial the phone.
What's that number?
Today's celebrity birthday is Tommy Chong. He's 73 years old today. Singer Bob Dylan.
There it is.
He must be 150.
He is 70 years old today, Kevin.
He's only 70?
He's only 70.
Wow, he looks bad.
Singer Patti LaBelle is 67. Priscilla Presley, former wife of Elvis. She was an actress for many years. Remember her in the Naked Gun movies?
Sure.
She was very funny in those movies.
She was one of the random celebrities in the audience at American Idol one night last week, too, which is just so weird. Remember they used to point out who they were or put something up on the screen? Now they just randomly show celebrities and you just try to pick them out. It was funny.
It's like the Super Bowl now.
Sort of.
Everyone just wants to go. Alfred Molina, very talented actor, is 58 years old today. Roseanne Cash celebrates her 56th birthday. John C. Reilly, one of our favorite actors around here, is 46 years old. Heavy D. You remember Heavy D? He is 44. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Incubus on the way, Florence and the Machine, Foo Fighters, and why Stephen Hawking says there's no God. All of that in the next few minutes here on the program. First, though, there must be something we can do other than read my tweets on the air.
Well, here's what we have. We have thanks for that info, Bean, and that's when Bean just says things out of the blue. No one's having a conversation about it. He just says it, and we go, okay. So we write those down. We read them back to you. But he also takes that badness away from this building and puts it on his tweets as well.
Yes.
So occasionally we have to do this feature.
That's that
tweet.
Bean!
Okay, but wouldn't you... It seems like you guys would support me tweeting whatever I want because that is a voluntary follow. Like, you're not subjected to my Twitter
Correct.
Feed if you don't follow me. So
Correct.
It seems like that's just for me and my little friends. It doesn't seem like that's the type of thing that should be subject to scrutiny.
Oh, well, everything's subject to scrutiny. You know that.
That's true. And we did support it until we realized it wasn't a valve, a release valve for you to direct all of that away from us and onto Twitter. It just became more.
Extra.
Yeah.
How dare you?
And
it's like, how dare you?
It's like saying Gaddafi's not killing Americans. He's just killing Libyans.
Right.
Rebels. So let's just we'll ignore it. We won't mind because he's just murdering his own people.
That's right.
No, wrong is wrong.
That's when good men fail to stand up, bad
yes.
triumphs or whatever that is. Hey, Omar, shut up.
No, I think you nailed that quote.
I did. I got it right.
All right, let's see what you've got for me today, then.
No good could ever come from a woman going out to buy kerosene.
Is there a story we should know about that one?
No, there isn't. There's no story.
That's just
a tweet.
Beam.
I think there
that's
is
just
a story.
Something I was thinking.
No,
that's
I
all.
I think there's a story.
There's a lot of story there.
His wife burnt the house down to the ground.
Now you mock. You guys mock. But tell me that's not true. Tell me I'm not right about that one.
Well, here's the weird thing. Most of us don't have that situation come up. Like,
yeah.
My wife doesn't go, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to get some kerosene.
Well, to tell the Pony Express rider to drop off a letter then. A little house on the prairie.
Bitches be crazy, right?
You tweeted that?
What?
Again, true.
Why
true.
Would you? This is why every woman hates you, and rightfully so. Why would you tweet that?
Because I think every once in a while we forget, and every once in a while we need to be reminded that that is a universal truth.
Was that universal truth told right after the kerosene incident?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all.
That's that
tweet.
Bean
taking his personal problems out on the Twitterverse.
Yeah, those poor people.
Pet peeve. Commercials that say over 18 or 18 and over when they mean 18 or over. All three mean different things.
Oh, F you so much. The grammar police
is
back.
That actually is
true. By the way, for the record, it isn't true. One of them is different. Over 18 is different. But 18 and over or 18 or over is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Not true.
Exact same. How's it different?
No. Because you can't be 18 and over. You have to be one or the other. You either are 18 or you are over 18. You can't be 18 and over.
No, but the people they're inviting are 18-year-olds and people who are over 18-year-old. Yeah. That's who they're inviting, 18 and older.
Right, but they're talking to one person in the radio commercial, and that's impossible.
No, they're not talking to an audience.
No.
Look, we'll give you...
No, you're wrong!
Incorrect.
We'll give you that over 18 does not include 18. The other two do. The other two mean the exact same thing.
Nope. But, unfortunately, there's no time to get into a dissertation in 140 characters
Jesus.
Or less.
That's that
tweet.
Beam! Which is more mind-blowing? That scientists have just found planets not in orbit around stars? Or that the App Store has an app?
What? The App Store has an app for finding planets that aren't...
No, they're two completely separate things. They're both equally mind-blowing, though.
That's that
tweet.
Beam.
Wow. This is speechless.
Beam. This is terrible.
Wow.
Why does the App Store have an app?
Wow.
And how can a planet be in orbit not around a star? Both are very confounding things that
Why
came to be on the same day.
Why does the App Store have an app?
Yes.
Why does a music store have music?
Because you go to the App Store to buy apps.
Right.
You don't need an app
so
an App Store.
Wow.
Oh, my sweet Lord in heaven.
Wow, you're trying to torture people.
That's that
tweet.
Beam. Why doesn't anyone talk about Isaac Asimov anymore? One of the smartest and most prolific authors of the 20th century. Totally forgotten now.
I was thinking the same. Oh, wait, no, I wasn't.
That's that
tweet.
Beam.
He was my very favorite author growing up.
Don't care.
And he wrote hundreds of books, and he was a huge star.
Didn't hear the music?
Now he just doesn't exist anymore.
We're not in control of that music.
In case of rapture fail, I kept my sheep shearing appointment today. Buy half of Milagro.
Wow. It's as if Bean sat down one day and said, I'm going to guarantee that I lose all of my followers in the next week.
Oh, sweet
a lot
heaven.
Of people were excited to see the sheep shearing photos that I tweeted.
Oh, I'm sure.
Shut up!
I'm sure they loved it.
That's that
tweet.
Bean! What is your least favorite platitude? Mine might be, everything happens for a reason. That's just a useless waste of words.
That tweet is a useless waste of words.
That's that
tweet.
Bean!
That bugs you too, Bean? Bean has a lot of grammar problems and a lot of sayings and phrases or whatever. Platitude, whatever you want to call it. I don't care.
Everything doesn't happen for a reason. That's just a ridiculous thing to say, and it's just not true. Sometimes things just happen.
Right, I agree. It's also a ridiculous thing to tweet. That's what I'm saying. Most people just let that go.
I wonder if people come 18 and over for a reason.
That's that tweet.
Bean! Best night ever! A new episode of How the States Got Their Shapes on the History Channel. Hope tonight is Oklahoma.
That's
that
tweet.
Bean.
That's a joke.
That's a hot show. Are you kidding me?
But that's you trying to be funny.
That's a very interesting show.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you're interesting.
I can't believe how many people I heard from who watched that show and loved that show.
Was there one Gotta stop.
Can't control the music.
Who knew Subway sells pizza?
That's that tweet.
Bean.
Well, I didn't. That was a surprise to me.
Oh, sweet God in heaven.
Did you know that Subway sold pizza?
No.
They're a sandwich shop.
But here's what most people would do. They would go to Subway. They would see the pizza. They would go, huh. And that's it. That is all that would happen from it.
I was curious if anybody had tried it and whether I should.
Oh, man. Wow, you're dumb. Do you like what else is at Subway?
What do you mean?
Do you like any sandwiches at Subway or whatever?
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead and try it. I think it's probably pretty
live
safe.
Live a little, Bean.
It's pretty safe. You already like their products.
I was looking
roll the dice. Live like a madman.
Crazy.
I was looking for a recommendation from somebody.
What is the recommendation? Kill yourself.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
Wow. You are magic. No response? Okay, bye.
Stephen Hawking. One of the smartest men in the world, making headlines again last week, not about science. He's the guy, of course, who wrote the popular Brief History of Time. He understands things the rest of us don't, but he really stepped in it this time when he talked about how there was no heaven, that it was just made up. People are not pleased with that.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it's also kind of a weird thing for him to say because it can't be proven either way with science.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
So people believe or they don't believe. I don't know that that falls into the scientific realm. But,
and it's also weird, by the way, that there are billions of people on Earth who don't believe there's a heaven. But Stephen Hawking says it, and all of a sudden they're coming after him.
Well, yeah, because he's the smartest man in the world, even though he's a robot. You know what I mean? So
He's not a robot.
What are you talking about?
He uses a robot because he can't talk. He uses a robot to speak for him, but he's not a robot. He's a man. And he's on the phone with us right now on the Kevin DeBean Show to discuss this latest controversy. Dr. Hawking, how are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So you came out and you said that, what, heaven does not exist and that it's a fairy story for folks who are afraid of death. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. Heaven was invented by a more primitive man before he had access to the information we have now about how the world works.
Okay. What's the downside, though, science aside, if it makes people feel better, if it gives them comfort that there's something after they die? I mean, why would you be against that?
I am about facts. I am not about feelings. So F you.
Now, have you been surprised at the reaction from people, many people around the world, especially actor Kirk Cameron, who has come out? What was his show, Growing Pains?
Mike Seaver on Growing Pains.
That's correct.
Right. Yes.
You don't want to take him on, do you?
I mean, no, I do not want to tangle with one of the great minds of our generation, like Mike Effing Seaver.
Yeah, he says, why should anyone believe Mr. Hawking's writings if he cannot provide evidence for his unscientific belief that out of nothing, everything came? So he's taking you on about the Big Bang Theory. What do you think about that?
I think he is a douchebag.
I will say this as a guy who does believe in heaven, that I don't want Kirk Cameron to be my spokesman. I'm not sure he's the guy we want out there running point against Stephen Hawking.
If there is a divine creator, would he really create Kirk Cameron?
That's a good question. That's a good question. That does
Kirk
go.
Cameron is proof that most life is accidental.
Well, he's very religious, and I think he felt he was offended by your remarks. But what about this part where he says to say anything negative about you, Stephen Hawking, is like bullying a blind man? He has an unfair disadvantage, he says, that gives him a free pass on some of his absurd ideas.
Yes, I am so lucky to be paralyzed in this wheeling death trap of a chair that I have to lean into a computer in order to communicate. Me and my unfair disadvantage.
Well, you do have an advantage, though, in that Kirk Cameron is not going to take you on. You're lucky, because he might just destroy you.
Bring it, Cameron. Even in this chair, I will kick your pussy ass.
Oh, I want to see a celebrity death match so much. I want you two in the octagon.
Wait till I unleash the weaponry I have built into this chair. Missiles, lasers, robot dogs that will tear your throat out. I have all kinds of cool gadgets inside this chair. I'm like a mother effing transformer.
Love it.
That's great.
I didn't know that, Mike Seaver.
Robot dogs. I love it. Let's do this.
And bring your hot bitch of a wife, too, so when I'm done kicking your ass, I can F her in front of you.
It's on.
We'll try to hook that up, Steven. That'll be fantastic.
Chelsea Noble will be my whore.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. The band Foster the People joins us in studio performing live on the show later on today. That reminds me, they are also playing the Weenie Roast, which is coming up a week from Saturday. We have tickets to give away right now at 1-800-520-1067. What's this game called, Kevin?
Well, it's called the Weenie Voice.
Weenie.
And we have
Darn it.
You go ahead and start coming to rehearsals. See, Carson, this is why you're lucky that you're the only guy on your show, because you never have to step on yourself.
That's right.
Carson Daly, ladies and gentlemen, is the host of the enormously popular NBC hit show called The Voice.
It is doing well, Bean. Thank you very much.
It's ridiculous.
Weenie.
It's ridiculous. Aren't you, you're taking Glee down, essentially, is what's happening. You're wiping up the floor with Glee, right?
The show's done pretty well. You weren't here the last time I was on K-Rock trying to promote The Voice. It was a tough sell in the room minus you. Thank God Lisa was around because she actually watches television, but your friend Kevin's a real a-hole.
At one point, Carson looked at me and said, you actually look mad.
Yeah. I said, I've never seen the face of hate, and now that Bin Laden's down, Kevin really has the face of hate when it comes to these shows and The Voice.
I hated American Idol and still do.
Me too!
Okay, and then you came
I
in
told
with
you
this
one wasn't that bad. I said it's actually pretty good.
And then I caught it on vacation. It wasn't bad.
Yeah,
it was pretty good. I was wrong. You were right.
The critics love it too.
I would like an apology, maybe.
What we decided to do, Carson, is because people are just rabid for these bands that are playing the Weenie Roast, as you know. I mean, there are people out there who just love Rise Against or Linkin Park or The Strokes, Bad Religion, whoever it is. So we thought, hey, in the tradition of your hit show, The Voice, why not give them
Weenie?
Why not give them the chance to sing a song from their favorite band, and then we'll judge who's the most entertaining. Doesn't even have to be technically the best, but who's the most entertaining? And then we thought, who should host this game if we're playing it but you yourself, Carson Daly?
I'm honored to be here. Thank you very much. I see a lot of people here.
Do we have to turn our chairs
ready
around? Or
how
does this work?
I don't know how it works.
No.
Okay.
Kevin,
no.
They're on the phone. I can't see them anyway, so that's going to be fun. All right, Carson, you're up, man. It's the Weenie Voice.
Let's get Weenie.
Welcome to the Weenie Voice, everybody. I'm Carson Daly. First up, where's Marvin? Let's get Marvin on the phone.
Hey, Marvin.
What's up?
Marvin, you're excited to see Neon Trees, it seems.
I'm excited to go see everybody.
All right. And you're going to perform what song today?
Animal.
Okay, we've got to speed this up, Marvin. A little enthusiasm would be nice. CeeLo just fell asleep.
Am I CeeLo?
Go ahead. Marvin, whenever you're ready, you can begin on the Weenie Voice.
All right. Uh-oh, I want some more. Uh-oh, what are you waiting for?
All right, I believe we've heard enough. I'm going to step in right there. Thank you, Marvin.
Wow.
You hold on.
Nobody
you
turned
the
their
running.
Chair around on you.
I would like to suggest, Bean, before you get too hasty, that might be the best.
Oh, don't say that. Please don't say that.
Might be.
Next up is Enrique. Enrique, are you there? Welcome to the Weenie Voice.
Hi.
Oh, boy.
Jeez. Hi.
Oh, no,
all right. Yeah, what song are you going to sing?
What are you going to say?
Reptilia by The Strokes.
All right, whenever you're ready, Enrique.
All right. He seemed impressed by the way you came in. Tell us a story. I know you're not boring. I was afraid that you would not.
Okay, I think we get the gist of that one. Why is Enrique wasting his time on the radio voice? He should be on the TV show, Carson. There's your winner.
I'm telling you. Weenie. Bean just got out of his big red chair and walked away. next up is Debbie. Debbie, are you here? You're going to sing a little Linkin Park for us today on the Weenie Voice.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Carson, is part of the problem that you're working down the hall on the hype machine that is Amp Radio? Yes. So but these people to you sound like they're in the grave, right?
Well, all of our listeners snort pixie sticks when they wake up in the morning. It's just a part of it.
By the way, they sound to me like they're dead too. Bean, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, do we have?
Yes. Oh, I agree. Okay. But imagine what it's like for Carson. Well, he's over there working on the cocaine fueled amp radio
station.
That's
right. That's exactly right.
All right, who do we have? We have Debbie.
All right, Debbie. Well, Linkin Park. Whenever you're ready, it's yours on the Weenie Voice. Good luck.
I don't know what's worth fighting for, or why I have to scream. I don't know why I instigate and say what I don't mean. I don't know why I got this way.
Oops.
I know it's not all right.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
I turned my chair around, but no one could see it.
I thought it was pretty good. Kevin, what did you think?
Nobody could see it. I thought it was pretty good.
Right?
You turned your chair around?
I did, yeah.
Being I want her on my team, or however you do it.
Well, compared to what we've heard today, yeah, I thought she's definitely a front runner. But why aren't the kids more excited to talk to TV heartthrob Carson Daly? That's what I'm surprised. Like, I can't believe they don't even forget the contest and just want to hit on Carson.
It's been a long time. A long time. Bob's on the phone. Let's get to Bob. So what happens with Debbie? She was pretty good.
No, we're just going to judge
just keep going.
Keep going? Okay.
Compare them all.
All right. So Bob's on the phone. You're getting another Linkin Park song. Bob?
Yes.
All right. So Weenie Voice, you're up. Go.
I'm one step closer to the edge, and I'm about to break. I need a little room to breathe, because I'm one step closer to the edge, and I'm about to break. Shut up when I'm talking to you. Shut up when I'm talking to you.
All right. Nice enthusiasm there.
Sort of the geek version of that song.
He was losing me until he got to the shut up part. It was all stolen.
And I also sense he can't be like the real Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, where he's just screaming his head off. I also sense that he's in a cubicle or something, or just can't sing too loud.
Sure.
So he's got to...
He was oddly polite, too. It was weird.
Yes. Yeah, polite for somebody who's screaming in your face. All right, Bob, you hang on. You are still in the running. Who's next?
Steven's on the phone. He's going to sing a little Cage the Elephant for the show tickets. Here we go.
Steven?
Yeah. What's up?
Go right on ahead.
All right. Well, I was walking down the street when out the corner of my eye saw a pretty little thing approaching me.
Thank you for the call.
No, too bad. It's all about the voice.
Probably have one more chance.
Carson, we only have time for one more contestant on the Weenie Voice.
My radio station's on fire. That'll work out nicely. Paul's on the phone. Mm-hmm. He's going to do a little Foster the People.
Hey, Paul.
Okay.
Hey.
Got Foster the People coming in later this morning to perform.
Yeah, this better be good because they could be listening as they're preparing to join us on the Kevin Bean Show later. So good luck to you, my friend.
All right. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks better run. Outrun my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks better run faster than my bullet.
Okay,
there you go. Everybody.
Wow. Paul.
A few chairs turned around there.
All right.
Kevin Bean.
What do we think, judges?
Well, we had Marvin sing an animal from Neon Trees. Enrique joined us for Reptilia from The Strokes. Stephanie did some Bleed It Out. Did not get to Stephanie. Debbie did some Linkin Park. She did Breaking the Habit. Bob did another LP song, One Step Closer. Steven murdered Cage the Elephant's Ain't an Arrest for the Wicked. And then we had Paul finally in Foster the People. Now, on The Voice, Carson, you don't get to vote. Even no matter how enraptured you are by a contestant, you have no say on the show,
right? That's how it should be, yes.
All right, so it looks like it's up to us.
Well, I think Stephanie was our leader at the beginning, right? At the top three?
Stephanie's the one we did not talk to, right.
The one we did not talk
Debbie.
To. Good.
Okay. You're talking about Debbie.
Kevin
Debbie.
Turned his chair around rather fast on Debbie, who did the LP song.
So Debbie and maybe Paul, the last guy?
I agree.
Interesting.
What about Bob? They should make a movie.
We're gonna need a winner here.
He did
for the
say
Weenie Voice
one
tickets.
Step closer. Hey, don't push us. We're picking a team.
Okay, sorry.
That's what he does on the show.
He did start screaming one step closer, so maybe he should be in the running. What do you think?
Pretty entertaining.
I'm hearing in my ear from the control, and we're gonna need an answer here in the next 30 seconds.
Look, I don't know how this works, but can I just pick who I liked the best?
Yeah.
I think I'm going with Paul with Foster the People. I think he was my favorite.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer, Regis. Thank you.
You're good with that?
I'm good with that.
All right.
Get Paul on the
phone.
Paul
is our winner. Congratulations, Paul.
I won!
You won!
Yeah!
Yeah! Nicely done. I don't think you did justice to the band, but nicely done.
Thank you, awesome. Carson Daly, and thank you for playing Weenie the Voice, or Voice Weenie, or whatever it's
Weenie.
Called.
That's what it's called, yeah.
Thank you all.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:54.
Ralph Garman, I know you're here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show, but coming up right after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to a guy with a celebrity gene, G-E-N-E company, where you can now buy, oh, I don't know, say a pendant with some Al Capone DNA in it, because that's an item that you've been missing. That happens. Yes. You can get buy an item with Princess Diana's DNA or Babe Ruth, Elvis Presley, Mother Teresa, long list of celebrities. You can own their DNA. What are you supposed to do with it? We'll find out. We talk to him coming up next year on the Kevin Bean Show. What's up, Ralph?
I think I do remember a bunch of guys with putty knives in that Paris tunnel collecting DNA, just scooping stuff up, putting in pendants. Now that I think about it, I remember seeing a team of pendant collectors.
Sure.
Yeah. Congratulations to David Schwimmer of Friends fame. He and his wife, Zoe, are the proud parents of a brand new baby girl. The baby was born on May the 8th, and her name, Cleo. Cleo Schwimmer.
Cleo.
Look at that. A real name for a real baby. I'm very impressed. Congratulations to the Schwim.
Call him?
And stop doing our show. Stop being on our show so much. Yeah. He's always on our show.
Every day.
Wasn't he the one who canceled, or was that Perry last time who canceled on us?
It's Matthew Perry.
Friends hate us. Yeah. The friends hate us.
Well, they've not been friendly to us.
No. They are misnamed, those friends.
It is amazing that there are six of them, and they've all been in various television shows and movies for 20 years now, and we've been doing the radio show trying to get most or all of them on for that same amount of time, yet it's never happened.
Never had one friend.
Not one time.
And what have
Not
we done?
One time.
Remember when they were standing together for a raise and we held a bake sale? Remember that?
Yeah.
I do.
Maybe that's why they don't like you.
That's probably it. Maybe. Yeah.
But you guys did a movie with Jennifer Aniston.
Well, sort of.
Kevin and Bean's Rockstar, yeah.
Don't call it that.
I mean, she was very pleasant on the set. She was very nice. Talked to us. Was fine. Couldn't get her on the radio, though.
Jeff Conaway still in the hospital. Things don't look so good. Dr. Drew has been tweeting about Jeff since he went into the hospital last week. He started with, oh, he's stable. He's going to recover from the pneumonia to pray for Jeff.
Not so much recovering.
No, so things don't look good for Kanicki. And suicide doctor Jack Kevorkian has been in a Detroit hospital since last Thursday with pneumonia as well. He also has a recurring kidney ailment. Jack, who's 82 years old, is expected to recover. He keeps screaming, get your hands off that plug! Apparently he doesn't want to go. Oh, I see how it is. I see what it is now when you're the one on the machine, Jack. All of a sudden, oh, no, hold not hope. I see. I'm going to take you out just to teach you a lesson.
You shouldn't probably take him out.
No?
No.
Speaking of Jack Kevorkian, did you see the HBO movie about Jack starring Al Pacino?
I wanted to, but
directed by the super talented Barry Levinson. Those guys are getting together to work on another film for HBO. After they do the movie about Gotti, which Levinson is also directing and Pacino's going to star in, they're going back to HBO to do the Phil Spector movie about his murder trial, where Pacino will play Phil Spector and Levinson will be directing that as well.
Great casting. He's a great choice for Phil Spector.
And Kevin, you'll be happy to know that Bette Midler has just been announced today will be playing his defense attorney. So you get a little dose of Bette, because I know how you love the Bette.
I sure hope she looks all sexy and whatnot.
Oh, come on. You got to love the Bette. Don't you love Bette?
Hate.
You know, Pacino's hair has gotten so crazy in recent years that Phil Spector is really the only person he can now play.
Oh, I don't even need a wig. I'm just going to go in there and be Phil.
Right.
Come on now. We're the Spector. Oh, be my baby. Yeah, I produced that one. And a lot of others. Wall of Sound. Come on now. Al Pacino is Phil Spector in Why Are You Yelling, Phil?
And while we're talking about casting, remember I told you last week that they're talking about doing a remake of the horror movie classic Carrie.
Yes.
About the girl who goes to her prom. She's the outsider. She's a weirdo. And she's also telekinetic. She can move things with her mind. And the kids pick on her at high school. And at the prom, they dump pig's blood on her. And she loses her S and starts killing the student body.
Yeah.
In the gym there.
So legendary, it's a comedy? Scene
with Sissy Spacek. Really made her a star, that film. Well, they are remaking the film, and apparently Megan Fox has announced she wants to play Carrie in the remake of the horror classic.
All right.
She loves the film, and she has told her people to make it happen, according to AbsoluteNow.com. It's a horrible idea for casting.
Of course, but I'd like to see it.
But it's a horrible idea.
Well, I mean, if
you ever believe in a million years that Megan Fox is the outcast at the high school and no one likes her and she's not the popular girl?
ever in a million years could she make that work.
No. I mean, if
I'm
that's
sorry.
What you're asking,
she
no.
can't. She can't do Carrie. It's not. No. No. You. No. Megan. No. Sit. Good girl.
Look, I don't care who she plays. She could play Nelson Mandela in a movie, and I'd want to see it.
Nope.
She could be like the prom queen. Did they make the girl the prom queen or no?
Nancy Allen was like the popular girl who tormented Carrie.
She
that's
play
the
that.
Role she should play.
All right.
Absolutely. But she can't.
Everything's better with Megan Fox in it, right?
No,
it's true.
Let her just do. Let her be something else.
Just anything else.
Yeah,
hot.
Let her be a Tomb Raider. Let her do that. But we don't need her as Carrie. Today's celebrity birthdays: Tommy Chong of the legendary comedy duo. I don't know the other guy's
Cheech.
Name. Oh, Cheech. That's right. Cheech and Chong. That's it.
Are you joking?
Yes, I was. Okay. 73 years old today. Bob Dylan is 70.
Kevin was thinking, that's happened to me. I know what you're talking about.
No, because I started a legendary comedy duo, and then I couldn't come up with the duo. So. Bob Dylan is 70 years old today. Patti LaBelle is 67. Priscilla Presley, an actress, of course, most famously known for marrying Elvis Presley, is 66 years old. Alfred Molina, very talented British actor, is 58. Remember, first time I ever saw Alfred Molina, he was in Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. He was the guy who asked him for the whip for the idol in the cave, remember?
Throw me the whip,
I'll throw you the idol.
That's right.
58 years old today. Roseanne Cash, she is a singer who makes her father, Johnny Cash, look downright feminine. I don't know if you've ever seen Roseanne Cash, but I think Johnny hit her with a guitar before he left.
Oh,
I'm not
no.
saying she's she's rough. She's 56. John C. Reilly is 46 years old today. Heavy D is 44. 1, 2, tell me what you got. Let me sit my corner side, you slap and hit the jackpot. Rev me up, my little buttercup. We can tuck sheets, snuggle up and get stuck. Yeah. Believe it or not, here comes a brother with glow. Struggling, bubbling, overweight, loving, hurting pro. So what's it gonna be? Me or the TV? Let me take time to set your mind and your body free. So why don't you just stretch for a set. Play while the bottle swap. Wow, quick. Remix. Shake me, baby, baby, bake me. No need to fake care. That may be too much Heavy D.
Remix.
Who's in the neighborhood? Where are we living?
Is that your cowbell?
What are we on, Tito? Yeah, I don't have a cowbell, so I have to go. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as big.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. We've got Foster the People live in our studio next hour performing for us. Can't wait for that. Plus, Beer Mug has a hilarious story about a wedding rehearsal he was at last week that ended up, am I right about this, Mug? It ended up with somebody drunk screaming to his ex-wife, get the F out.
Absolutely right.
Sweet. So we'll discuss that and wedding disasters that you have known coming up. First, though, celebrity genes. G-E-N-E-S. The DNA. The building blocks of life. Celebrity genes. Now available for sale. What's that about? Ryan Leto is the creator of that, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show now. Hey, Ryan, thanks a lot for coming on, man. How are you?
No problem. Pretty good.
So you can buy DNA from famous historical figures, alive and dead. Is that right?
We're still hooking up some of the live ones, but we have some of the dead ones ready to go.
I'm sure that, for instance, if a celebrity came to you, let's say, the situation came to you and said, hey, I want to be part of this. Is that the kind of guy that you would, you'd give him money and he would give you DNA? Is that how it worked?
Or we work on some kind of a profit sharing thing. Yeah, we actually hired a PR company in LA right now, and we're trying to hook up a meeting with Gene Simmons and anyone else.
You don't want his DNA.
I don't know. He'll do it at least. He doesn't really turn much down. All right, tell us where you're the creator of this celebrity gene. Tell us where the idea came from and what's going on with it.
Okay, well, I worked at a lab, the Lake Kidd Paleo DNA Lab, and we do all kinds of crazy stuff there. Like, we get DNA from Egyptian mummies, and like we identified some of the Titanic victims, and also some of the missing World War II soldiers from Vimy Ridge in France.
Right.
With Canadian soldiers. So, yeah, we do a lot of ancient DNA, and one day I was working on a mummy, and I was trying to get some DNA out of the hair, and it was about 400 years old. So I was just kind of surfing around the internet when I was waiting for something to get done, and I saw an article about some celebrity hair. And somebody had paid some huge amount of money for a piece of hair. And I thought, well, and there was a controversy underneath that, why don't you clone them or get the DNA out of it? And somebody said, well, you can't get DNA out of hair. And I was like, well, I'm doing that right now.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
So then I thought, well, if I'm going to try this, I'm going to try somebody big. So I looked around for about maybe 6 months until I could find an authenticated strand of Elvis Presley's hair. So I thought, well, if I'm going to try somebody, might as well try somebody really big. So I brought it back to the lab and extracted ZV8 DNA, sequenced it, and so now I had Elvis Presley in the fridge.
Okay, now, so then if I want Elvis Presley's DNA, I can purchase from you, what, a pendant, something to hang around my neck that has a stone and inside of it is Elvis Presley?
Well, no, there's only one copy of the original extract, so all his DNA is in one vial. But you could buy a copy of it, not a full copy either. You can buy a piece of the DNA copy if you'd like.
You can buy a piece of the DNA copy.
Yeah, you can buy a copy of the... You won't get the whole DNA of Elvis. There's only one vial with his DNA in it.
Right, right.
Yeah, and we're probably going to sell it at auction.
I see. And then,
so what can I do? I mean, it's a novelty then, really. I can't really do anything. Even if I had a lab like yours, it's not like I could take whatever I buy from you on Elvis and do something with it, right?
No, well, we're trying to protect their medical information and stuff, too. So we didn't want to sell it. But we have the one that has all his information in it is that one. But we're either going to save it or, like I said, we're going to sell it.
Could we clone it?
I have a novelty. If you want a piece of him to hang on to, you can buy a copy of...
This is so weird, though. This is like you're saying, okay, we made an album, and there's only one copy of it, but we'll sell you half of one song if you want. That's what it sounds
like. Weird.
You're giving us so little of what you have.
So you have the real DNA, but I would get a copy?
Yeah. Unless you wanted to pay huge money, because we only have one of the Elvis.
Right.
Right. So how do you go about collecting? I mean, some of the people I see on your website are people who are dead. You know, your Babe, Elvis Presley is a good example, too, but your Babe Ruths and your Mother Teresa's and your Al Capone's and those people. Where do you go to get that DNA to keep in your fridge, right?
Graveyards at midnight. Oh. Dig fast. The sun's coming up.
Yeah, no, let's say Princess Diana, she had donated some of her hair at a Humane Society auction. So she clipped it off, and then they'd package it up, and they'd auctioned it off.
Okay.
We tracked down these different samples, like through memorabilia dealers or auctions or memorabilia auctions, and then bid on them or buy them from a memorabilia dealer.
But I gotcha.
What's kind of exciting is we're just talking to a British production company, and they actually have access to, like, a slice of Einstein's brain and a bunch of other stuff, and they might want to make a series about this.
Einstein.
Now, what kind of interest have you had from super fans of, let's say, you love Michael Jackson more than anything in the world? I mean, this is, in some ways, the ultimate collectible. Is this stuff selling for big, big money, Ryan?
Well, the Michael Jackson, we're still having some problems because it's coming from the hair that in this Pepsi commercial.
And it was,
we haven't been able to replicate it yet, so we don't have any copies made. We only have the one extract, so we haven't sold any of that. But what's surprising is Al Capone is a big seller. Seems like
Al Capone.
The U.S. wants to buy Al Capone.
Huh. Are you on a treadmill right now, Ryan? Are you jogging?
No, sorry.
Okay. He's had a little bit out of breath. You keep hitting the phone. I just wondered if we were interrupting the morning workout or something like that.
No.
So who's on your wish list of the person? Oh, I bet I know the answer, and I bet it's Jesus. But maybe aside from Jesus, who do you really, really want to sell DNA on?
Well, we
want
to get some live people. Maybe get Charlie Sheen. He seems pretty
fun. Well, you started out this conversation talking about how you wanted to go so big, and we end it with you going so, so small, Ryan.
Now, you're getting a lot of interest. I mean, people are buying these, and they come in the form of pendants, right, that you hang around your neck?
Yep. And actually, a lot of people are doing it for themselves, saving their own DNA, too, so or their children or their grandmother.
What? Oh, interesting. You mean the way, let's say grandma dies, you know, you might cremate her and have her on the mantle or something like that, but you can also get something made with her DNA, put it in a ring or something if you want?
A pendant and a ring. It's completely viable, too, so it's you can actually keep it for, like, 200 years, you know.
Or if you're Keith Richards, you can put it in a little vial, and then you can snort that.
Just snort it, right, exactly. Yeah. All right, the website, if you want to find out more about this wacky product, is Celebrity Gene. That's Celebrity Gene is GENE.com. Ryan Leto, creator. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. Bye now. By the way, that guy, he's a surfer, isn't he? That guy's not a scientist. There's no possible way that guy's...
By the way, I know we have important business to take care of here, but raise your hand if you've got an otter pop right now, or is it just me?
Wow, you need
it's
to
like
keep
five
that.
Years old.
If you don't mind,
really,
keep
otter pop is not a win anymore.
You just keep that for off the air. That's a thanks for that info, Bean. It just needs to annoy us, not everyone.
I'm just saying they're awesome. Hey, Beer Mug, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How
thank
are you,
you,
my friend?
I'm fantastic, Bean. Thank you.
Beer Mug came in the other day with a hilarious story that made us think. It's been a while since we've taken your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about weddings. Now, yours happened to be a wedding rehearsal, but
yes.
We've seen this happen a lot at weddings, too, where there's a relative who, for whatever reason, there are a lot of different ways this can happen, manages to ruin the happy occasion for everybody else there. What was your story, dude? What happened?
Yeah, so it was 2 days before the wedding at the rehearsal dinner. The groomsmen were there, the bridesmaids were there, and the grooms and the bride family were there. And we were eating dinner, and it comes time for a couple of the groomsmen to give speeches. And the first groomsman starts giving his speech, and the stepdad of the groom picks up the phone and starts talking during the speech.
Loud enough that people can hear it.
All right. So the groom's mother walks over to the recently divorced husband.
So it's her ex.
Yeah, her ex. And says, please, can you take this outside? In which he proceeds to look at her and go, get the F out of my face.
But so loudly that everyone
so
heard it.
So loudly. And luckily enough, the groomsman that was giving the speech kind of, kept going with the speech not to draw attention to what had just happened. But everybody clearly saw
Sweet.
Very awkward moment.
I love that so much. It's almost always a relative, but sometimes it's best friend. It can be somebody who's really, really close, but for some reason they have decided, I don't know, usually they lose it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just involuntary. Like he didn't mean to interrupt the service, but he was tired of her telling him what to do. I don't know. It just always seems to happen that way. I don't know if you remember the movie Old School, where Will Ferrell's getting married. And Luke Wilson is one of the best men, and Vince Vaughn is one of the best men. And the priest is actually doing the ceremony.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here together to join Franklin and Marissa.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's usually not quite that bad. Although we do have a story that's very much like the next one, which is where Luke Wilson takes the microphone as the best man and starts giving the toast. And this has happened, and we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067, family member or best friend ruined wedding.
I'd like to say I'm really glad and proud to be here tonight. True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a goddamn magic show, ready to double-team your girlfriend, and it stops.
It stops right there.
Vince Vaughn grabs the microphone.
It continues right here, because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind.
That's not what he's trying to say at all. That's really not at all.
But think about what goes into a wedding. You have people who, there's a lot of anxiety in the air. Not everybody is on board with it, perhaps. You've got, in some cases, you've got kids are getting married, for instance, and they have estranged parents
sure.
who are brought together for this wedding. So you've got potentially exes there. Oftentimes you have ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends in the audience of somebody who's getting married to you. I mean, there's a lot of drama. And then, at certain points along the way, especially in the reception, you've also got alcohol factored in. There's a recipe for disaster there. There's a lot of people who have to be on their absolute best behavior for several hours that day, and many times they can't pull it off.
I would say perhaps the speeches, from the best man or whoever, should happen before, at the very beginning, so that they haven't had time to drink a lot.
Right.
Because that drinking can really turn something beautiful ugly.
I bet that's where a lot of these weddings go awry, is the best man speech. And you're absolutely right. Either he's drunk or he has some sort of mixed feelings about the bride. He's not necessarily on board with the choice his friend is making. There's a lot of ways it can go wrong. But it's been a long time since we've invited your calls on this topic. So we want to hear about your wedding-related disasters by friends or family. What did they do that almost ruined it? I mean, I see stories all the time. Where guns are fired at a wedding reception.
People arrested. That's always good. Sometimes the bride or groom gets arrested.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that has happened.
That's
sure.
sweet.
So 1-800-520-1067. What happened at a wedding that you were at? We'll take your calls when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about you or your friends or more likely an ex ruined a wedding or wedding reception. A lot of great stories on the line. 1-800-520-1067. It happened. A screaming match practically broke out at an event that Beer Mug was at a couple of weeks ago. And it prompted us to realize we haven't done this topic in a while. Listen to Shayna's story. She's on line one to get us going here. 1-800-520-1067. Shayna, thanks for calling. So you're in a situation where not everybody in the room was delighted with the couple that was deciding to get married, right?
Yeah, my cousin was the maid of honor on her twin sister's wedding, and
She hated the groom so much, she acted like she lost the ring.
Sweet.
And then tried to light her bouquet on fire in front of everyone.
Oh. Okay. Wait a minute here. How did she try to light her bouquet on fire? And what, was she hoping that the place would have to be evacuated and then they would rethink getting married?
Pretty much. There were candles in the background, and she nonchalantly just literally tilted her bouquet.
Wow, sweet.
So what was going on is she was thinking crazy thoughts. She was thinking, I have to figure out some way to delay this wedding, preferably stop it, and I'm willing to do anything to try to make that happen.
Yeah, and you know, somehow she knew. She told my cousin that she would be there for her wedding as well as her divorce, and it turned out that they did end up getting divorced.
So she had the last laugh.
That's listen.
Awesome. Nice. Thank you, Shayna. We appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Let's try, that was twin sisters. Let's try Kevin on line three. He's got a story about twin brothers at a wedding that did not go well. Kevin, welcome to the show, man. What happened?
Hi there. I was the best man at my friend's wedding. And then at the rehearsal dinner, his estranged twin brother thought that he should be the best man. And so they ended up in a full-on karate fight.
Wow,
that's awesome!
Wait, they both did karate?
They were both black belts in karate.
Oh, sweet!
It was fantastic.
That's fantastic. At least it was good fighting.
That's the best rehearsal dinner ever.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask, and I don't know how much time here, but if the twin brother was estranged from the groom, why did he think he would be selected as the best man?
I don't know. He thought that, you know, since they were brothers, that he was, you know, it didn't matter, all the stuff that
they would
before.
Just put aside whatever the difficulties were because he was getting married.
Yeah.
I could answer that question. Jack Daniels.
Maybe so.
That's the answer there.
Thank you, Kevin. By the way, a karate fight between the brothers. That's the best. I love that. All right. Let's try, how about CJ? CJ in line five. This sounds like it might be dastardly. CJ, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What happened?
Hi. Well, basically, my friend was coming up to the dance where you put the money in the pocket, your little purse, and he forgot to, so he came a second time, and after that happened, my mother-in-law decided to start a rumor that he and I were having an affair the night of my wedding.
Wait a minute, your mother did that?
Mother-in-law. And that was the best way to start off the marriage, and to say the least, we are no longer married.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
That is the way you want to start, is with the mother-in-law ruining the wedding reception.
For sure.
Love it.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Here's Rob from the Kevin Amin Facebook page. I got drunk off my ass at my cousin's wedding. I threw up on the cake and on the bride. It was 6 years ago. She still doesn't talk to me. Imagine you're a bride. You're standing there in your wedding dress and you get vomited on.
Sweet.
On your wedding day, there's vomit.
God.
It's not a proper party until there's vomit. Who's with me?
Let's try Kitty, line six. This sounds like it might be pretty juicy. Kitty, thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What happened?
Yeah, so a former coworker of mine decided to show up to my wedding at Bel Air Country Club dressed like a prostitute.
Sweet.
Well, almost, except it was an ugly prostitute.
Oh.
And she got really, really, really wasted. Within 20 minutes of the reception, got into a screaming match with the best man who didn't know her and had to be escorted off the premises.
All right. That's good times right there. That's what you want to do. You want to show up dressed like a prostitute and drink hard.
Cherry.
That's the recipe for a good wedding.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Laura. Laura, her story, believe it or not, also involves alcohol on line 8. Hi, Laura. What's up?
Hi. My sister was the maid of honor in my wedding, and not to mention the fact that she's older than me and not married. Mm-hmm. Her speech, she proceeded to tell every single embarrassing story about me.
Right.
And then when it came time for the toast, she spilled red wine all over my dress.
All right. Red wine all over your dress. But at least that comes out really easily.
yeah, not really.
Thanks for the call. Dear Kevin and Bean, Brian writes in, I'm listening to your show from Wichita, Kansas. Say hello to our fine affiliate KFH there and have a good best man speech at my wedding. My best man was divorced from my wife's maid of honor. His whole speech turned out to be all about how she had cheated on him.
Oh.
Unfortunately, unlike in old school, I did not have Vince Vaughn to bail us out. Now, doesn't that recall a certain time in our lives, Kevin, where we were involved in a situation very much like that?
Well, we got our certification from the Universal Life Church for $1, and so we could legally marry people. We did it for a while. Now we don't do it anymore because I don't know. It just seems like you should take it a little more seriously than that. But we were dressed up like monks, if I remember correctly. And we married Lightning, who, by the way, Bean, we tried to get to come in to talk about this, but he will not.
Well, God bless Lightning, by the way. He's the guy who runs KevinAmin.com and does a great job for us. But I think that's still a very painful memory, as is that entire marriage.
So we marry him off. We go to the reception. And the brother, Bean and I don't think had any idea that the brother was jealous. So he's the best man. He's the brother. He gets up to give the toast. And you know how it kind of just dawns on you slowly that something's going terribly wrong?
Yeah.
He started saying stuff like, you know, Lightning gets everything and I don't get anything and I deserve to have her. And he starts pointing, you know, at the bride. He's like, I should be married. And I was looking at Bean and Bean was looking at me like, what do we do? Like, we're not prepared for this. Yes.
Right. And you also, I mean, look, this is their family and it's Lightning's big day and this is his brother. You're worried about stepping in too soon and maybe, you know, you don't want to be the buzzkill. You don't want to be the guy who's making the decisions about what goes on at his reception. It's their wedding. It's not our job to do that.
Plus, it's my instinct to let that go on forever. Because to me, that's the good stuff.
I did. I have fuzzy memories of it. But did he kind of have the hots for Lightning's wife, a little bit?
I don't know. I think he threw that into the list of things that he should have, that his brother has everything and he doesn't have anything. And his parents love his, you know, Lightning more than his brother. And we were like, what do we do? What do we do? And we finally grabbed the microphone. We weren't as smooth as Vince Vaughn, but we finally grabbed the microphone and went, all right, yes, let's dance, or whatever.
He might still be talking if we had not taken that microphone away. But the good news is Lightning might still be married, too. Foster the People joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Looking forward to talking to those guys. Man, they were great on Jimmy Kimmel's show last night. Did you see them?
I didn't know. I taped it.
So good. Anyway, they're also on the Carson Daly TV show tonight. We'll talk to them in a few minutes and tell you how you can see them free later on today as well. Hey, Ralph Garman. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Do you know originally their name was Foster and the People?
No.
Yes. Originally they had called the band Foster and the People. And their friends and people who heard the title just kept screwing it up. They kept calling him Foster the People, Foster the People.
Is this true?
And they're like, oh, wait a minute, that's cooler. That's even a cooler name. Let's stick with that. So that's how they became Foster the People. Because that means like doing something for the people, taking care of the people.
Sure.
Which has a you know, more depth to it as a name than just Foster and the People.
Sure. Makes sense.
Cool story, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, it's a little trivia
relevant.
For you. A little trivia for you. How about that?
I like it.
I like it too.
Unless it's not
Is
true.
There a guy named Foster in the band?
There is.
Yes. Yeah, there is, yes.
Sure. This is a great story. TMZ.com. Check it out if you haven't seen it. The story of actress model Estella Warren, who you probably will recognize from Planet of the Apes. She was the female lead in that opposite Mark Wahlberg.
What?
Wow, how are you hitting up for Estella Warren?
She's a supermodel.
Oh, am I mistaken on her?
She's a model and a swimmer, and she's like an athlete and everything.
She's unbelievable.
Sorry, hit it again.
Who did you think it was?
I have no idea.
It's that name. He reacted to the name.
I thought it was Estelle Getty.
Could be.
Very well
She's
could be.
Dead.
I got to take it back.
It was Diane Warren.
I took it back.
Estella Warren is in jail right now.
What?
Uh-oh.
Turns out she was overserved and got behind the wheel of her high-powered Toyota Prius.
Uh-oh.
Slammed into three different cars.
Oh, no.
When cops showed up, she kicked a cop.
Oh, man.
She hits the three parked cars first. She sideswipes them, loaded, in her Prius. She drives away. Cops spot her, pull her over, get her under arrest. She starts kicking cops at that point, resisting arrest. Then they take her to the police station. During the booking process, she manages to get out of her handcuffs and makes a break for it through the back door.
Dude.
To which Dude. She is quickly subdued and recaptured.
I love that so much.
She is now being booked for charges of felony escape.
Oh.
She's also going to be booked for assault, for kicking the cop, and for hit and run, and DUI.
Wow.
One law enforcement source told TMZ she was really hammered.
Yeah, thanks for that update.
Is that the legal term for it?
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I hate to see bad things happen to hot chicks.
Yeah, but she seemed to really be in
fire.
She was insisting on getting arrested for everything possible.
It's a little nutty right there, but a great story nonetheless.
Former Maxim magazine hottest woman in the world too, Kevin. The one that you took the bell away from.
I'm bad. I'm wrong. I'm bad.
Yes, you are.
All right, I admitted it.
I don't think you admitted it enough.
I'm bad.
I want you to say it every day.
I'm wrong. I'm bad.
Every break. All right. This is odd. This goes to show you that maybe we're out of touch when it comes to television. The big Nielsen ratings winner for Sunday night?
Yeah.
Tom mm-hmm. Selleck's movie, Jesse Stone, Innocence Lost.
What? And why are you clapping for that?
I don't know why Bean's clapping for that.
Why would you play that?
Maybe he's
sound
a big Tom Selleck fan.
No, it's not that. It's just that people love Tom Selleck. I mean, it's just, it's weird. This is a series of these Jesse Stone movies, right? Some recurring character they do a couple times a year on CBS, and people just are obsessed with him.
Based
on
some,
I don't get why.
Some book. Big winner for the night, beating both Celebrity Apprentice and the Billboard Music Awards.
Wow.
Huge, huge hit. CBS is crushing, by the way.
Yeah,
with programs that I have never seen and never heard of.
Not interested.
I look at the top 20 shows, and most of them, to me, are CBS shows that sound like Lisa made them up. You know how she does? Mm-hmm. How she pretends that there are shows on?
Her fake network in her head? Yeah.
Right. I don't get it. Who are these people?
Hmm. By the way, Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice was the lowest rated spring finale ever for the show. So once Busey left, I think people tuned out.
Yeah. Plus, it was literally 95% filler.
It was crazy.
The Saturday Night Live this week, Seth Meyers was talking about how Donald Trump's not running for president, but he says if he did, he would win. And Seth Meyers said, Trump, you can't even win your time slot on Sunday nights. Okay, shut up.
More reality TV show news. Anna Kournikova.
Yes.
Yes.
Apparently will be taking over for trainer Jillian Michaels on The Biggest Loser on NBC. So Anna Kournikova will whip fat people into shape over there on NBC.
Is she a trainer or something?
Instead of Jillian Michaels. Who cares? Anna Kournikova.
I don't watch that show, but all right.
Look,
I will.
Fatty, just do what she says. Look at her and look at you. Who knows what they're doing here? Not you, fatty. That's what she's going to say.
I hope.
Yeah. Jillian Michaels is moving on to another show called The Doctors, which also is on Lisa's network, I think. And she's going to be a correspondent for Dr. Phil.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She will handle special lesbian issues, I'm guessing.
Allegedly.
No, she's a lesbian.
Oh, is she? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? I didn't even know that.
She and Jackie Warner used to live together.
Oh, yeah. Boy, did they. Live together, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
I think people know what that means.
Live together.
I mean,
live together.
That's pretty clear.
Live together. That's the live together.
Yeah, we know what that means.
I don't think you understand.
I think we do.
I should not be turned on right now.
Justin Bieber's got a new fragrance for women.
All right.
He has designed a new...
I'm sure he has.
Yeah, I'm sure he was in the lab with a little white coat on and some goggles and a Bunsen burner.
That crazy little scientist.
Whipping up the fragrance.
Come on.
It's called Someday, based on the fact that someday Justin hopes to touch a woman. So, we'll wait and see whether that happens or not. You see him making out. See him kissing Harry.
Selena Gomez.
What's her name? Selena Gomez.
No.
At the Billboard Awards.
Sorry, did you call her Harry?
Yeah.
Okay.
She would he would win an award. He won like 14 awards at the Billboard show. And he'd get up and she would hug him. And it was like the weirdest, most awkward kiss in the world. They were trying to look like they were a couple, but they were afraid to or something. It was all very strange and awkward. Maybe very uncomfortable. But
you don't think they're doing it for real?
He was wearing a gold lamé sports coat.
Sweet.
That's all you needed to know about Justin Bieber.
And for real, not to be funny.
No, that wasn't an ironic coat. That was a real coat
right there.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tommy Chong is 73 years old, half, of course, of Cheech and Chong. Bob Dylan is 70. Patti LaBelle is 67 years old. Priscilla Presley turns 66. Alfred Molina is 58 years old. Singer Roseanne Cash is 56. John C. Reilly is 46 years old. And Heavy D celebrates his 44th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'm off the showbiz.
A week from Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Irvine, California, a little concert's going on you may have heard about with Linkin Park and Rise Against, Bad Religion, Strokes, Neon Trees, and so much more. We're very excited to welcome the leader of Foster the People in the studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. Foster the People also playing on that day. How are you, Mark Foster?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. It's very exciting to have you in. Your record is one of those that, although I'm sure it was a lot of work for you and was very difficult to put together and make sound good, for the rest of us, we heard it one time and we said, I love this band. So I'm so happy to see how well it's blowing up for you.
Oh,
it must be gratifying to actually get your music out there that you care about to the peeps.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's been a good ride. You know, it's crazy how fast your life can change. Because, I mean, you know, a year ago, we've only been together for about a year and a half, so...
Oh, there's so many bands out there that hate you right now.
Sorry, guys. I delivered pizzas for years.
We've been in a van.
I paid my
dues. We've been traveling for 15 years. We can't get hurt.
How does that happen, Mark? I mean, you think about so many great bands. I mean, No Doubt comes to mind. That a band that just played and built up their audience over more than a decade before they ever got a record played on the radio. How did it happen so fast for you guys?
You know, it's funny. I like I asked that same question for a long time trying to figure it out, and I'd always people would always say, it's all about the timing. It's all about the timing. I'm like, I don't want to hear about the timing. I want something real that I can grab onto.
Because if it's timing, you're lucky.
Yeah, but I mean, well, it's like a lot of things. I mean, I was just going to say, it kind of is about the timing. But, maybe we are lucky. I think, the internet had a lot to do with it. Just, pumped up kicks just kind of, I don't know, connected and just started to spread around online. And, I mean, I think
Were you surprised how that went, how fast that took off,
totally.
And where it went?
I mean, I wrote the song and we put it out literally, a week after I wrote it. And then, a week after that, it was spreading all over the place. And so, I mean, it was just, super quick.
So wait, you're telling me, let me make sure I understand, this is fairly revolutionary. You're telling me that part of the reason for your success is just writing really good songs? That people actually like it? And that's a factor that can be included in how to make it? What?
That's the key. That's the secret right there.
Now, Kevin and I have often talked about on this show how we love music, listen to a lot of music, are not lyrics guys. Oftentimes, I'll be just like Kevin. I'll hear a song 100 times and still have no idea. I've not paid attention, not dug deep enough to even know what it is. I just have always assumed all this time that Pumped Up Kicks was just your attempt to write an Adidas jingle. I thought, Certainly. Here's a kid who really wants to be in a TV commercial selling shoes.
He wants some Nikes, that guy.
Right. Adidas, Nike, something like that. But now I'm starting to hear from people way smarter than I am that there's actually a very dark and deep and disturbing story behind this. And you're actually telling a very dramatic tale in this song. Is that accurate?
Yeah, definitely. The song's kind of, it's written in character. So, I really wanted to tap in the head of a teenager kid that's, really just kind of a loner and kind of losing his mind. So, I mean, the song's, really about his psychoses and he's just, he's kind of living in this fantasy world. That's
Did you get
super
that,
violent.
Kevin? Did you get any of that from that song?
No. I feel like I'm missing out because I don't pay attention to lyrics. And then every once in a while I'll go back and I'll go, that's what that song says? You've got to be kidding me. But you like the song anyway, regardless of not even understanding, what the lyrics are. But that makes us lame, I guess.
Mark, how did you find your people?
I was friends with them, before. So Mark Pontius on drums and Cubby Fink on bass. We were buddies. So I knew them for a couple years in L.A. And, we were kind of all doing our own things, playing in different projects and stuff. But I knew that, if I was to put another band together, that I wanted to play with them. And eventually they quit their projects.
You can't overestimate how important chemistry is in a band, right? I mean, you guys have all been in other projects, but my guess is when you guys got together and started making music, it probably felt different from the other experiences you had.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, it was way different. And I think that was like a lesson that we all learned from, playing in previous bands, that it was just really important, to us that we had that friendship there already. So, after the first show that we played, I think that was kind of when we realized that we had something cool.
Really, you didn't
us.
Realize that until the first show. When you were on stage, you went, hey, this is really something.
Yeah.
This is working.
I mean, we were just kind of jamming before, in rehearsals. And I remember, we booked a show like maybe a month after we started kind of practicing together and stuff. And I was going into the show being like, man, we're not ready. We sound terrible right now,
right.
But then when we stepped on the stage and played that first show, everybody just like clicked into gear. And I think, it was kind of
cool.
It was
That's
cool.
That's interesting.
Now,
yeah.
What is it like when you play? Have you done a lot of festivals?
Not really. I mean, we've played South By, and then Coachella was like our first pretty massive.
That's what
festival.
I was going to ask. Is what is it like to go to a place where everyone isn't there for you? So you kind of have to win people over. You're going to do the Weenie Roast. You're going to do BFD in San Francisco. You're going to do Lollapalooza. You got a lot of those kinds of shows this summer.
Totally.
Is it a weird thing to step out and go, okay, I need to win a lot of these people over for the first time?
I mean, I think we thrive on that, honestly.
Yeah.
We're kind of like, I think we're used to being the underdogs. And so, I like being in that position where people don't really know what to expect.
Because then you can exceed their expectations.
Yeah,
Once
totally.
They go, this is the best band ever, now you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the voice of Mark Foster on the Kevin Amin Show. He's, of course, with Foster the People. The other guys are in the other room. We're going to be playing, hearing them play live in a couple of minutes. The band is also going to be at Amoeba Music Hollywood tonight at 6:30 with a free Amoeba performance, and I assume that is going to include people who want to get the album signed or something. People can meet you as well, Mark?
Yeah,
is that
totally.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. What's the, before we take a break here, here. What's the expectation when you get a band together? Obviously, there's an artistic hope that you're going to make music that means something to you, that connects with people. But I mean, these days, if you're starting a band in the 21st century, is there any kind of expectation of being able to financially support yourself in a musical group anymore? Or do you just kind of figure, hey, if we make a dime, that's a bonus at this point?
Yeah, honestly, I think when you go into it, you have to do it because you love it, and you can't really expect anything from it, but you hope for it. You know, you're obviously optimistic, and you know, I think it's you have to develop a business mindset as well as, you know, creative mindset when you're in a band if you really want to push forward and make a career out of it.
Did you guys have discussions about how can we get people to pay for our music, because it doesn't seem like a lot of people want to do that anymore?
I mean, I don't know if we had discussions specifically about that, but I mean, we definitely had discussions about, you know, how are we going to get on the map? Like, what can we do, you know, in order to be successful at this? You know, I mean,
stand out, right, from the thousands and thousands,
exactly,
of other bands that aren't.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and especially in LA, I mean, there's a band, you know, on every corner. So, you know, it's a struggle, you know, it's a hustle for sure.
Not much of a struggle, though, if I could just sum it up for you.
Because they have the magic ingredient, which is to be good, Kevin. That's the difference here. I mean, that's how you stand out. It's exactly what we were talking about. You know, you go to South by Southwest, there's, you know, 1,000 bands there. People walk away talking about, you know, 10 or 12 of them that kind of broke through, and yours was certainly one of them this time. So
I'll tell you something else is that if you listen to the album, like we played mainly the one song. If you listen to the album, it's all just as good. Which I think is rare compared to past.
Thank you.
In the past, when they could sell it just as a whole,
right,
there'd
right.
be a song or two and then filler.
Sure.
You know, now that you can, you know, buy one song at a time, usually the bands have to put a little bit more into it. But I like, you know, the song we're playing is great, and I like other songs even better. So I mean, that's really, I think, a good sign that you got a lot of good stuff to come.
Thanks a lot.
The album is called Torches. It's available everywhere now. The band is Foster the People. They are here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll take a quick break. When we come back, you guys are going to play for us, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Can't wait. On the way. Always a treat for us on The Kevin and Bean Show when we get a band we love coming in live, performing for us, and that's the case today. Foster the People is here. The album is out now called Torches. What are you guys going to play first for us here today?
We're going to play Pumped Up Kicks.
Fantastic.
I know that song. Let's do it on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Robert's got a quick hand. He'll look around the room. He won't tell you his plan. He's got a rolled cigarette hanging out his mouth. He's a cowboy kid. Yeah, found a six-shooter gun in his dad's closet with a box of fun things. I don't even know what, but he's coming for you. Yeah, he's coming for you. Saying all the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, loud run my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run faster than my bullet. Daddy works a long day. He be coming home late, and he's coming home late, and he's bringing me a surprise. His dinner's in the kitchen, and it's packed in ice. I've waited for a long time. Yeah, the slide in my hand is not a quick pull trigger. Reason with my cigarette. Then say your hair's on fire, must have lost your wits, yeah. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, loud run my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, faster than my bullet. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, loud run my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run faster than my bullet. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, loud run my gun.
sounded great.
That and is the fake crowd sound effects go crazy.
You guys are looking around going, where are all these people coming from?
Wow. The boo button. Will you hit the boo button?
Foster the people here in the studio at the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, is that how the song was written? Was on acoustic guitar as well?
I think I wrote it on electric. Yeah.
Right.
But it's
sounds perfect for that, yeah.
Yeah, it lends itself to that arrangement. Mark Foster is here. Mark Pontius, Cubby Fink, they are Foster the People. By the way, great performances last night on Jimmy Kimmel's show. You can go to Jimmy Kimmel's website if you want to see even beyond what was there on the TV. You guys are going to be with our friend Carson Daly tonight on his show on NBC. And you mentioned the Tonight Show next week. And, of course, you're playing the sold-out Weenie Roast on June 4th. We do have time for another, if you guys don't mind.
Do you know something by Kesha?
Totally.
Yeah, you know any Kesha or
do, right, Mark?
LMFAO or no? Something that you wrote, maybe? Any
yeah,
of the above?
Yeah, we can do that. We can pull one of those out.
Okay,
this is a song by Kesha called Houdini.
Come here for I-49 and F-45 taking me down as a prisoner's ride. Yeah, ooh, got shackles on my words are tied. Ooh, fear can make you compromise. Ooh, lies turned up in such a heart. Ooh, sometimes I wanna disappear. When I feel kind of bad and I want to stress, pass it off on ability. Well, you got what you want, what you never knew. It's a perfect gift from me to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, the shackles on my words are tied. Ooh, fear can make you compromise. Ooh, lies turned up in such a heart. Ooh, sometimes I wanna disappear. Raise up to your ability. Never knew that I could find what come with the realized. I don't want to compromise. Raise up to your ability. Can't stand when I disappear. Running around cause I'm filled with fear. And I can't go cause my lives are wrecked. Ability. Now I know that you want me. Throw me into the sea. For my ability is up to your ability. Yeah, I do want to start it. I just wanna leave it. But I don't wanna run away. You gotta focus on your ability. Focus on your ability, gotta focus on your ability. Focus on your ability, then they can't get what they want to steal. Can't get what they want to steal, then they can't get what they want to steal. Can't get what they want to steal.
I think they really like that one, huh? That's good stuff right there. Foster the People, name of the band. Please buy the album today and do it legally. It is called Torches, available everywhere. Amoeba this afternoon starting at 6:30, and then, of course, the Weenie Roast on June 4th. Looking forward to seeing you guys again in a couple of weeks, man. Thanks so much for coming by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from Hope. Oh, my God. Thanks so much for having Foster the People on today. They sounded awesome. I love their songs so much. I'm buying the CD today. They rock. It was great. Like I've said before, and here's the reason I read the email. You guys make the workday seem like I'm walking through a rainbow. Take care. Love you guys. What is Hope smoking? I don't know, but she would come up with walking through a rainbow.
I don't know, but I want some.
Look, our show's a lot of things. It ain't walking through a rainbow. I got news for you. I mean, I appreciate the thought, but no way.
I would love to have whatever she has that makes her feel like she's walking through a rainbow. That'd be awesome.
I do, too. All right. Kevin and Bean Show on the air. The Afro Line 24 hours a day is available for you. You can call us at 1-800-520. What? That's not even the right number, is it? You can call us at 323-520-AFRO and leave a message like these fine listeners did.
Yeah, this one, a couple of these were from Saturday when the world was supposed to end.
Uh-huh.
So this is the first one.
Hey, Kevin Bean. I just wanted to call to do my final goodbyes so that you guys know I'm going to miss you as the rush takes place today. And, oh my God, it's happening right now. It's rapture.
By the way, we haven't had a chance to mention this today, but in case you're wondering what Harold Camping had to say yesterday when he gave his first interview to media.
By the way, you're going to think we're kidding, but Bean's telling the truth here.
Yes, after the rapture that he predicted and got all the publicity for did not happen on Saturday, we all wondered, how apologetic is Harold Camping going to be? I mean, how much of the money is he going to offer to refund? How much is he going to say he was wrong and he was sorry? I mean, this is going to be a very tough speech for him to give. He came out yesterday and he said, oh, I got the math wrong. It's October 21st.
Yay!
By the way, this is after he got the math wrong in 1994.
Yes. Yes.
So every time he predicts it, he's going to say he has the math wrong.
That guy is 89. His personal rapture is going to come any day now.
Before October 21st.
Probably.
So everything that you were panicking about for this past Saturday, just put it on hold, enjoy your summer, and then we'll try again in October.
Right. Don't put the panic away. It is going to come back on October, but have it available.
Okay, so now that we're all dead. Wait, are we dead? We're not dead. We're not dead.
No.
He sounded almost disappointed there was no rapture.
We had a game called Mumford the Hits.
Well, I heard Mumford the Hits, and I thought it was a pretty good game. But to tell you the truth, I think Ralph is a douche. Ralph is a douche.
I'd like to hear the birthday boy Bob Dylan talking to his close friend Carl Mumford, by the way, or whatever the Mumford kid's name is. That would be an awesome conversation to behold.
Yeah, from afar and not understand any of it. I don't know what this is about. It could be about 100 different things.
Boo! F you, Kevin. Boo! F you, Kevin.
I mean, how am I supposed to identify?
I don't know.
No way to know.
I could have done 5,000 things that guy's calling about. Here's a report on the tragic death of a rapper over this past weekend, and a very touching tribute.
Tragic story about the young rapper who died over the weekend. Had his final song been released, it may have saved his life, because it was called "Teach Me How to Duck It." Teach Me How to Duck It.
See, teach me how to duck it.
See, because M-Bone, the rapper who died, sang "Teach Me How to Duck It."
Yep, that's what that guy was saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm watching TV, and for some reason, Omar pops into my mind. You stupid, dumb... Lop.
I said to Omar, I said, hey, seems to be a lot of calls about lop, the word you're trying to bring back. He said, yeah, isn't that weird? And I said, is that all that's coming in? He said, pretty much. So I think we need somebody else to start going through the calls.
Yeah.
More terrible can you be?
Yeah, Omar's people, his supporters, the ones who are helping him bring Lop back, he claims are now known as the Omar-me.
Yeah, I think he made it up, and there's nobody that calls themselves that.
Right.
But he wants us to play this song every day.
I'm bringing Lop back. Yeah!
I don't know how much you can care about a song, but or a word, but Lop. Come on. Now, this guy's creative.
The Lopra is near. Inside your loppy mind, there is no phantom of the Lopra.
That's barely trying.
It is barely trying.
All right, guys, listen up. I don't want to be part of the Omar-me. I don't want to be part of the Gar-me. All right, I am starting the Beans Butt Bandits.
All right.
Beans Butt Bandits.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Don't feel like you need to stick with that name, sir.
Plenty of room for that. We can actually make that happen. We'll have Omar start working on a jingle right now.
Excellent.
We looked at the lyrics on the birthday of the dude that sings Busta Move, Young MC.
Mm-hmm. And we were making fun of how funny the lyrics are, and that's what this call's about.
A girl starts walking, guys start gawking, sits down next to you and starts talking, says she want to dance because she likes to groove, so come on, fatso, and just bust the move.
This is the story for all the dumb locks. Try to write lyrics, but they all are big blocks. Song so bad, and if you want to call cops, don't give a damn because it just won't stop. Let's go, Lisa. I like to get a pizza. Wash them pubes if you want to get pizza. Ask the Jamba Juice, she said the facts are going to put it on a blog like I was being Baxter. Kevin Ryder's not a fighter. Megan Foxy wants to get Rock shows up with the showbiz beat town. You stuff the teams, he told y'all last week.
Come on.
That was
nice.
Good.
Well done.
Not
well
bad,
done.
Right?
Yeah.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It wrong is wrong.
That's when good men fail to stand up, bad yes. triumphs, or whatever that is. Hey, Omar, shut up.
No, I think you nailed that quote.
I did. I got it right.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
You guys knew what I meant, though.
For evil to succeed, all it takes is for good man to do nothing.
That's what I said.
No.
You know, most of the time lately, in last year or so, it's been our listeners who have tipped us off to the Moments With. Because I think we don't even notice them anymore. I think Moments With are passing us by every single day, and we don't even capture them anymore because we don't even
hear
them.
We notice that one, because that hit us in the face like a bag full of nickels.
That too, yeah. So, well done. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph Garman.
Kevin can breathe easily now.
Why?
A federal judge in St. Louis has ruled that The Hangover 2 can be released.
Well, I didn't even know that was in question.
Yay!
It was because the tattoo artist who created Mike Tyson's face tattoo was suing, saying his copyright was being infringed upon because Ed Helms in that movie wakes up with an identical face tattoo after one night in Bangkok. Makes a hard man humble, by the way.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. He was trying to enjoin the film to keep Warner Brothers from being able to release it until they settled his lawsuit. But the judge said, no, they can go ahead and release their movie. You guys can work out this afterwards, but feel free.
So he still might sue or whatever.
His case is still pending.
Okay.
But they're allowed to release the film, which in his case, if he's looking for damages, I would think he would want. I would want them to make as much money as possible with that film.
That's true.
So when I asked him to write a big hefty check, they're more inclined to do so. So,
look, I don't know the specifics of the case, just based on the thumbnail description you've given us, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
I think the guy's got a legitimate beef.
I do, too.
I mean, that, to me, sounds like original work that has just been co-opted by this movie without his permission or any compensation.
If it's an original, specific work, and it seems like it is, it would seem like either he or Tyson would own the rights to that tattoo.
Mike would have a claim, too.
Might have been a work for purchase where Tyson said, design me something, I'm going to pay you X number of dollars, and then I will own the design for my face.
If he asks for money, you just give it to him.
Well, whatever
There's
he
no
wants.
There's no court case.
Right.
You can just take it.
Tyson has stayed out of this legal dispute. He hasn't said anything one way or the other, so I'm sure they will. If it goes to court, they'll have to ask him to make an affidavit or something like that. But the good news is, Hangover 2. Release the hounds.
This weekend, right?
Yeah.
Why is Kevin not camped out already? I can't understand.
Thursday's camping.
The sequel to your favorite movie of all time ever. Right now, what are you going to do if this is even better than the first one? You willing to move Hangover down to number two?
Am I willing to change my order?
Wow.
Yes.
Can Kevin change his order?
He changes it every week.
How'd you change that?
Priest, favorite movie Priest ever made. Priest is my favorite movie. No, I'm good.
Tonight's Dancing with the Stars. The finale. It's the last chance. Stars get to dance. Make their impressions on the judges.
Yeah.
Chelsea Kane and Mark Ballas, of course.
The celebrity in that couple?
Come on, Chelsea Kane.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Heard a little movie called Citizen Kane based on her life? Hello.
That's her. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
Yes, pretty famous. She was the judge's choice. Their last dance, a samba, pulled a 29.
Out of 30?
Possible 30. How about that?
Wow. Sort of like Psycho Mike scores.
Yeah, they were. Wait a minute. Kirstie Alley and Maxim tonight, and Hines Ward and Kim Johnson.
Oh, so they have three couples going for the title in one night?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then they'll decide who it's going
to
be.
By the way, there's a feature that Psycho Mike is going to be in, too, that's supposed to be pretty wacky. Pretty Psycho Mike-ish.
Live performances by Black Eyed Peas and the Go-Go's as well. So it's got something for everybody tonight.
Whoa!
And something for nobody.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of stuff going on. Another day, another reality show. Just announced is America's Most Gorgeous Glammas. This is just for Kevin. This is Kevin's show.
Oh, no.
Sexy senior citizens, Kevin.
Really?
America's Most Gorgeous Glammas.
They're
See, they're grandmas, but they're glamorous, so they're glammas.
That is not a word.
Love it.
It is now.
When, where, why?
Show will feature beautiful old women and their extreme lifestyles.
Extreme.
You will see a beautiful grandma who's a bull rider. Another one who's a bounty hunter. Another one who's a wing walker. Producers are working hard on the pilot episode. No word yet on which outlet will air it, but I guarantee you someone will.
I'm sure it's TLC. Aren't they the freak channel?
They are the freak channel, yes.
Stream couponing and all that BS?
Gorgeous glammas!
Now, we've talked
about
this.
What are the Asians going to call that show? That's what I'm wondering.
I love gorgeous glammas. That show, I like it.
We've talked about this before when older women have been involved in a discussion, Ralph.
Kevin likes older women.
Kevin does love older women. We know that. What's the oldest woman you could conceive, honestly now, not as a radio bit, the oldest woman you could see having sex with, Ralph?
Well, it's all a matter of
who it is.
Perspective and what your own age is, whatever old to you is.
You know, Let's say you today.
Well, I was 20, I remember, and I had sex with a 31-year-old woman. And I thought, my God, I'll probably never have sex with anyone that old ever again.
I'm pushing the envelope.
Exactly. That's right. Really it. 11 years difference is huge.
When you're 20, of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's say now. For conversation.
Well, yeah, depends on the woman, obviously.
I mean, is there a 70-year-old out there that you would have sex with?
I'm sure there is, yeah.
Kevin, how about you?
Nope.
A 70-year-old?
No.
Not for Kevin. Nope. There isn't a 40-year-old woman Kevin would have sex with.
Nope.
Is there a 75-year-old, Ralph, that you could conceive of wanting to have sex with?
How old is Sophia Loren?
I don't know.
Lisa, do you know? She's got to be well into her 70s.
Mid-70s,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And she looks amazing.
I'd give her a toss.
Really? In her 70s, all right. 80? Is there an 80?
Oh, come on. All right,
let's stop this.
Well, this is why I'm curious.
Probably not an 80-year-old woman.
All right.
Because I would turn her to dust.
You'd pulverize her.
I would just pulverize her. She would become just a bag of organs. All of her bones would just be shattered.
That's not how you want to go either.
No, I don't want to leave someone just a bag of organs.
So mid-70s for Ralph.
That's probably my cutoff, yeah.
Mid-20s for Kevin.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay.
Does Bean have a cutoff age is the question to ask.
No, I don't.
There is no
I do not.
Age that is too old for Bean.
He has a younger cutoff, and it's 65. He won't have sex with anyone under
only
65.
Only 65 to infinity.
Yes.
That's his
correct.
Range.
I saw the new oldest person in the world on the news over the weekend. She's 114, and I thought she looked pretty hot.
See?
Ugh. And while we're talking about Hangover 2... Apparently, there's a bit of a feud going on between January Jones of Mad Men and Zach Galifianakis.
What?
Oh.
Why?
January Jones recently called Zach one of the funniest guys in Hollywood, but Zach says he can't understand why she would compliment him. He said they once met at a party, maybe she doesn't remember, but she asked him to leave her table after just 10 minutes. Zach says he was quite offended and gave her the quite the profanity-laced lecture about being nice to others before he stormed off.
That's sweet.
And now she's saying how funny he is. He thinks maybe she doesn't remember that encounter.
I love it.
That'd not be awesome. I sat at a table once with Zach at a Jimmy Kimmel charity event.
Yeah.
And he could not have been nicer to me, personally, but he seemed enormously uncomfortable being out around in public. He seems like a guy who's a little shy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine him to go off like that on January Jones in a public setting. He must have really been cheesed off.
She must have really pushed him.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
So he may be the only guy we can rule out as the father of her baby.
That's true, yes. Today's celebrity birthday is Tommy Chong of the legendary comedy duo Cheech and Chong is 73 years old today. Bob Dylan is 74. No, he's just 70 years old today. Patti LaBelle is 76. Priscilla Presley is 66 years old. Alfred Molina, very talented actor. Dr. Octopus, remember from Spider-Man 2?
Sure.
Doc Ock?
Sure. Doc
50,
Ock.
58 years old today. Kevin says I have such authority if he knows what I'm talking about. The guy with the mechanical arms,
hey,
Dr. Octopus.
I know, dude.
You don't know.
I'm down.
Roseanne Cash is 56. John C. Reilly is 46. And Heavy D celebrates his 44th birthday today. We don't even have it ready,
yes,
do we?
We do.
You don't have it. You're searching for it now.
There it is. 1, 2, tell me what you got. Let me fit my corn inside your slop a hip a jackpot. Rev me up,
me up, my little buttercup. We can tuck sheets, snuggle up, and get stuck. Believe it or not, here comes a brother with glow. A snuggling, bubbling, overweight, loving, hunker pro. So what's it gonna be? Me or the TV? Let me take time to set your mind and your body free. So watch this track, 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 floor set. Lay down the bottle so I can cop a quick wet. Shake me, shake me. Baby, baby, bake me. No need to fake, here I am, come on and take me.
Look at Lisa May shaking her rump to that song. It's unbelievable. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm on KevinAndBean.com, and here's the question that's being posed at the very top of the first page. Is Beer Mug the next American Ninja Warrior?
Yes.
Kevin, I don't know much about that show, but I do know a lot about Beer Mug, and I'm going to say no.
That show is awesome. It comes from Japan, and it is the most unbelievably tough competition that there is. And in Japan, it's very different than here, because if they don't get a winner, they just don't get a winner. They don't take like the top two or whatever and see who goes the furthest. You have to finish the course. And if you don't, they end the season and go, well, maybe next year.
That's unacceptable.
Isn't that crazy?
For God's sakes, give somebody some money.
It's really, by the way, the person that wins, no money.
It's, they do it for honor?
It's for honor.
Wow.
It's like our wipeout. If you look at our wipeout, but then you say, take that, you know, 10 times as hard and you can't fall. Now, Wipeout's all about falling.
Yeah.
This is you can't fall. And it's unbelievable how strict the rules are. And it's a crazy, crazy game.
Now, it sounds like, and I know at KevinAndBean.com you have a video of Beer Mug going through the course there. It sounds like this is more akin to an actual athletic competition, even more so than a game show. I mean, this looks like the type of thing that you would go through if you were, you know, involved in an Ironman competition, for instance.
Yeah, or a gymnast. It takes all different kinds of skills.
Clearly, that's why I was chosen.
That's why you were chosen. Yeah. So they had the tryouts at Venice Beach, and Beer Mug went out there, and he was going to try. They have an American Ninja Warrior, and then they picked 10 people to go to Japan and compete in that particular competition.
I am overly excited to run this course, and I'm going to let my unathleticism and my fancy attire do the talking.
Out of all the people that have tried today, only two people have actually finished the course.
It's about to be three. Bring it on.
Now, I love Beer Mug's confidence, because it's about the same as the Armenian comedians. It's way over the top confidence, and it's not tied in any way to his ability.
Now, let me ask you this question, Muggs. Like our old friend Psycho Mike used to be involved in a lot of competitions like this, where he would go out and run through the mud and things like that. But he had a reasonable expectation of being able to finish him, because he spent his life in the gym and he spent his life preparing for things like that. You don't strike me as a particularly competitive guy or a particularly athletic guy.
No, but I do like to eat.
Right, but that doesn't help you with this. I think his Bean's point is that's the opposite.
Gives
of
me
what...
energy. Gives me fuel.
Okay, all right. I forgot to mention this. Almost 3,000 people have tried the course. Only three have ever finished in history.
Oh, my God.
Three. One guy did it two or three times, and then there's two other guys. And that's all. So Beer Mug is going to try. And we ran into Allison Hayslip from G4.
Ding, ding.
Ooh, yes.
And had her explain to us exactly what's going on.
Now, I've been told that Beer Mug, as soon as he hits the water, it's over.
Oh, yeah. You're out as soon as you touch the water.
Those ramps over there, he has to jump back and forth. Can he do it with both hands and both feet?
You can do it with both hands, both feet. They're called the quad steps. Awesome. Just don't touch the water.
Okay.
All right, so he understands exactly what's going on. Most people take 1 foot. They do it in one motion. 1 foot right, 1 foot left, 1 foot right, 1 foot left, and then they're done. They're through. The first one's easy.
Yeah.
No problem.
When I got there, Kevin was like, Muggs, I will give you $100 if you clear the first obstacle.
Right. That's not that hard, right?
No.
Everybody who was trying it that day was making it past there.
Yeah. And I had to use a different technique, which you'll see in the video, which is no way near how the real Ninja Warriors do it. I was holding on for dear life,
pretty much. You can go to KevinAndBean.com and watch the video of Muggs try this course, but this is what happened.
Oh, in the water.
First thing, right in the water. That's what happened.
Yep.
So that disqualifies him. But they happened to be out at lunch, so we said, can he keep going? Now, the rest of the contestants, by the way, there was a woman that went right before Beer Mug who barely touched the water with her toe, and she didn't even know it.
Oh.
And she was ready to go into the second one, and they said, nope, you're out. She's like,
wow,
what are you talking about? Yeah, really, really tough judging.
Muggs, had you watched the Japanese version of this show before?
Yes, I had seen the Japanese version, and I kind of had an idea, but it was way different.
So you knew what to expect. Yeah, that's what I'm curious. When you're standing and you're getting ready to jump on that very first one, try to stay out of the water and jump from box to box to box, was it much further than it looked on television?
Oh, way further than it looks on television.
On TV, they just make it look easy because they're the best athletes that you see when it gets to that point. But Yeah, when you're there, it's like a half a mile apart.
Yeah.
And you go, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. So then there's this log that you have to hold on to, and you can't hold on to the top. They have a lot of rules, but they're little handholds. And then it's on these bars that just drop suddenly and jerk you, and usually you'll fall off of the log at that point.
All right, I think you got this. I think you can hold on to this log.
He's going in the water.
Now it's
he's
drop.
Going in the water. Ooh. Oh, what? He might make it.
He made it.
Wow.
What are the chances?
Impressive.
He actually did one level correctly. Now, if it were the real game, he wouldn't have been able to try.
Right.
But
I am the champion.
That's still impressive, by the way. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't bet money that Muggs couldn't complete any of the challenges on the course.
No, yeah, actually, well, Kevin had confidence that I would hold the log well.
Well, he's a log holder from way back. I mean, that's been known. So then there's, I think, next is the small trampoline. You get a run-up. You hit the trampoline, and then you have to soar. Like, it literally is, I don't know if it's 20 feet, but it seems 20 feet away. It's a long, long way. And Muggs hit the trampoline and went, I don't know, a foot. And missed it by 19.
The next one's easy, they're saying, Beer Mug.
He can't even get up on the
he can't even get up on the platform.
Get a run up, hit the trampoline, and grab the rope. Try to shoot out like Superman, not up.
I'm doing.
You're doing great.
He's going to eat some
Not even close.
All right, so back in the water again. Now, again, not allowed in the real game to keep going, but we decided to let him keep going. And then there's the wall that everybody has so much trouble with. It's a 14-foot wall. Yeah. And I don't know if you've seen this, but it does. It angles. It goes up to a 180, and then it kind of comes back toward you.
It's like a skateboard ramp is what it looks like, except you have to run up it.
Yeah, and... But it does, the lip does isn't just straight up and down. It does come back.
Yeah, so it's inverted. Yeah.
Makes it harder, yeah.
And by this point...
By this point, he's exhausted.
Yeah, winded, just totally zapped of all energy.
Muggs, does it help to have Kevin screaming at you from the sidelines as if he could do it? Because every time you hear, he's like, come on, Muggs, all you got to do is just jump off there and catch that,
it
run
does,
there,
it does.
And swim there.
Kevin's humiliation and making
How
fun
dare
of
you.
You.
I was supportive. and then, so then he tried the wall.
Come on, Mug, let's go! Okay. You're doing great, Mug, you're doing great.
You're doing really well. I'm proud of you.
See, we're trying to pump him up.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the wall, and then he goes to that wall, and he gets a running start, and I swear to God, he hits a foot up. It's 14 feet high, and he just kind of does a header. He's just so out of energy, he just kind of goes... Bonk. And just it killed us. And then from that point on, he had three chances, and the second chance was worse, and the third chance was even.
I was on fumes.
It's tough for me to tell in the video, but how long in minutes passed from the time he started the course to the time he finished?
Probably 6 to 8.
Yeah.
I mean, six to eight minutes? Because he does look like he's run 100 miles by the time he's done.
There was time for somebody in shape to catch their breath, but they have to be in this kind of shape, which is an odd... And I mean, guys that were waiting to run the course were walking on their hands and stretching.
God,
I mean, these guys,
ridiculous.
They're like real-life Spider-Man, and then here's Beer Mug with his stupid little hat. So if you'd like
How
to see
you.
Him fail greatly, I mean, and it is a fail, and it's funny. The video is up at KevinandBean.com.
I've got a question for Ralph Garman before we get into Showbiz Beat. You watched the House season finale last night?
Oh, yes, most definitely, indeed.
Now, don't spoil it for me. I haven't seen it yet, but is it awesome?
Oh, he dies.
Oh, he said don't spoil it for me.
Sorry.
Oh. Did he die?
Yeah.
He did? Mm-hmm. He really died?
Yeah. Well,
then how is the show coming back for another season?
Flashbacks.
Really?
Wow. It's going to be like Lost. It's going to be like an alternate universe House.
I heard it was a crazy plot line. House. But I just wanted to make sure, because sometimes those are pulled off brilliantly, and sometimes they're swing and a miss. I just wanted to know how you rated the finale last night.
It wasn't that crazy, I didn't think.
Not that out.
Okay.
A wild thing happens at the end.
Yeah.
But that's sort of, standard operational procedure for House, to have a finale that kind of ends on a shocking note. But
sure.
I guess the case was a little out of the norm, but it all worked in the sense
But they're all in a church and they find out they're in purgatory or something like that.
Exactly.
It's one of those kind of
deals.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get caught up. I haven't seen it yet. So I know you're our House man, so
it's
I thought
good
I'd
stuff,
ask.
But it certainly paves the way for Cuddy's exit, I'll tell you that much.
Ah.
Certainly you would understand if she was not in the picture next season.
She goes crazy with a knife and gets subdued by the police.
Look, I can't. Right. I can say no more.
Say no more. Exactly.
Bean swore me to secrecy.
He did.
All right.
True.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now here's Ralph.
I can see how desperately you wanted to see it, Bean, but the fact it was on last night and you didn't watch it.
because I'm still a couple of episodes behind, I'm not caught up to last night's show yet. That's
well, your
why.
Passion for House is evident then in the way you exactly. just let episodes sit by the wayside and gather dust.
He's got stuff to do.
I know, he's got sheep to shear, for God's sakes.
In my defense, it is the baseball season, and there's a three-hour game almost every day.
Can
and that
you
takes
imagine
some time,
no, a three-hour baseball game just wading through that crap?
Last night was a 10th inning come-from-behind win from my Mariners. I couldn't have been more excited, but I couldn't watch House while the game was on.
Here's what you do. You tape the whole game, and then you just fast-forward it. When you see the score change, just rewind 30 seconds.
Here's what you do. You don't tape the game. You just watch SportsCenter, and they give you the scores. Yeah. And then you save yourself 160 days of nightmares.
Scores and a couple highlights. That's what you get.
Oh, F baseball so much. Katy Perry's got a big-time celebrity fan. Apparently one of her biggest supporters is Sir Michael Caine. Vanessa Hudgens worked with the legendary actor on Journey 2, The Mysterious Island. I'm assuming this is Journey to the Center of the Earth 2, the sequel?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's about the band Journey. I don't think.
Certainly not a sequel to the band Journey.
But every morning, Michael Caine would crank up Katy's song Fireworks.
Really?
To motivate the cast and crew and cheer everybody up in the morning.
Same song every time.
Yeah. I'd hit him right in his old British ass about day three, I think.
Was it the video or just the song?
Just the song. Well, he would just crank it up and play it for the cast and crew because he thought it was a great motivational song.
Three quarters of her appeal is the video.
Yes, it is. Maybe that's in her rider that Michael Caine has to play her music on every one of his sets with her BS rider being the selfish whore that she is. 45-page rider. Oh, get me hydrangeas. Yeah, I'm going to put them right in your vase, too, if you know what I'm saying. If you know what I mean when I say vase.
Everyone understands.
I don't think they understand.
Yes,
yeah.
They do.
Nice rack.
Hate her now. Remember we talked about dating a celebrity before they were famous?
Yes.
We had some people who had phone calls and they said they had dated people when they were younger and they went on to bigger and better
All
things.
All of them claimed that they were the dumpers, not the dumpies.
Of course.
It was a lie.
Here's the thing. If that is the case, hold on to your stuff from that person.
Oh.
A guy named William Pauley Jr. dated Elizabeth Taylor about 60 years ago.
Okay.
They were engaged for less than a year, never made it to the altar.
Wow. Didn't she
must
marry?
Be the one that got away.
Yeah, 75 people.
So this weekend, he sold her love letters.
Okay.
For $57,000, they went up for auction.
Wow.
Old letters from an old flame up for auction. $57,000 someone paid to read those.
So what are the chances that if you got love letters from someone, let's say in high school or college, that they're going to be worth anything?
I'm saying it's worth the risk. Well, how much room do a couple letters take up?
Right.
Throw them in your drawer and hold on because that person may become famous and then 60 years from now, that's when you cash in.
It's a good plan. It's a retirement plan.
It is a good, so much better than those 401ks they try to talk you into. Just hold on to your old love letters. Bang a lot of people and get them to write you letters, and then you will increase your odds, I think, exponentially.
Can you write me love letters, please?
Can you? Yes. And then I just put them in my drawer.
He must have been waiting for her to die before he would sell them, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because he certainly had lots of opportunities the last 60 years to unload
them. He didn't even know he had them.
Oh, he knew.
He was moving, going through his attic.
And there's love in the air between Kesha and T-Pain. They were spotted this week at Larry Flint's Gentleman's Club. Apparently T-Pain was buying Kesha lap dances.
All right.
Kesha enjoys strippers. Apparently was filling up their G-strings with lots of cash.
I can support that.
One of the strippers took pity on her. Oh, look at this feminine-looking dude. Really, he wishes he could be with women like us, but he really can't. Oh, let's just be nice to him.
Oh,
he's an ugly dude.
But the photo shoot really looked good.
Wow.
What was that played again? But the photo shoot really looked good.
Should I just start drinking full-time? I mean, I might
like
as well.
You haven't.
I mean, I talk like that when I'm not drinking.
The photo shoot
so
good.
I might as well, right?
Wow.
If I'm going to talk like that anyway.
You are about...
I need to start drinking.
You're about a month away from Dick Clark.
You kind of are.
You are. You're on the fast road to Clarksville.
I don't want to be on that
You're
road.
Taking the last train to Clarksville. That's what I'm saying.
At least, you know, God bless Dick Clark, but at least he had an excuse, which is I've had a stroke.
Hey, I have birdation.
Yeah, Kevin.
You do have heavy birdation.
Kevin's had plenty of mini strokes. It's got to be the only explanation.
And the United States of Tara was canceled yesterday. Toni Collette's comedy about the woman with multiple personality disorder.
It's funny you call it a comedy.
Will end at the end of this, its third and final season. Sorry, Tara fans.
Look, I love Patton Oswalt, and I support anything that he's in, yeah. But that was not a good show.
I had a hard time choking that down myself. Yeah, I watched a couple episodes, and I was like, this is not for me. But we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Edie Falco's very talented, though. I mean,
I love Toni Collette.
What's-Her-Face?
Yeah, yes. What's-Her-Face is very talented.
She's very good. Edie Falco's show on Showtime, Nurse Jackie, however, has been renewed for a fourth season. I'm loving that show. Really good this season. And The Borgias, their first-year drama with Jeremy Irons, has also been renewed as well. So, shake-ups over there at Showtime. Today's celebrity birthdays. How much time do we have?
We have enough.
Enough. Let me do real quickly the CDs and DVDs, since it's Tuesday.
Oh, great.
Give you the heads up. I Am Number 4. Movie with Timothy Olyphant and Diana Agron from Glee. Agron? I Am Number 4.
It was pretty good, by
the way. I saw that. I really liked it.
I did,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Wow, I was surprised. I thought you were going to yell at me.
No, I really liked it.
All right,
available on DVD today. You can check that out. Romeo and Juliet, also available.
That was pretty good, too.
Just kidding.
I didn't see Romeo and Juliet. The Kids in the Hall, one of my favorite sketch comedy troupes. Their movie, Death Comes to Town, is available on DVD.
You can check that title.
On CDs, Born This Way, of course, by Lady Gaga. We've been hearing about this album for some time now. Volume 6 of Glee, the music. New music by New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys. Believe it or not, they've got a new CD. Valley Heart by She Wants Revenge. The Hangover Part 2, the original soundtrack, is available today. And Torches by Foster the People. New CD today. They were on our show earlier today.
That is a great CD.
Wildly entertaining band. Today's celebrity birthday is Tommy Chong of Cheech and Chong. 73. Bob Dylan turns 70 years old. Priscilla Presley is 66. Actor Alfred Molina is 58. John C. Reilly, another very talented actor, is 46. And Heavy D celebrates his 44th birthday today. Tell me what you got. Let me slip my coin inside you, slap the hip and jackpot. Rev me up, my little buttercup.
We can tuck sheets, snuggle up, and get stuck. Believe it or not, here comes a brother with a glow. I wish we remembered more of the details, but I think at one point at an MTV event, Bean came up to me and said, I just helped Heavy D meet a woman.
Well, Bean is known as the matchmaker of the hip-hop community.
I was like, what are you talking about? He said Heavy D wanted to meet a woman, and I made the introduction. I was like, what world are we in right now?
Bean introduced Kesha and T-Pain.
That's true.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. Kevin Smith, writer, director, actor, podcaster.
Hack.
Will be here in the morning. He has to come in early because he's doing a podcast with his wife.
He does now. A daily show now, daily radio show, okay. Out of his house.
A radio show, okay.
Yeah.
So he has to come in early tomorrow. It's just pretty much, we're just going to have to call a podcast in the future. Just because it's going to be 24-7.
Yeah, pretty much.
Brand new internet roundup. We have Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. We have Bobby Slayton, comedian in studio. We have Psycho Mike in studio, who, by the way, has a very funny piece on Dancing with the Stars tonight, mm-hmm. where they kind of let him go crazy and do what he wanted to do.
We'll be the judge of that.
Look for that. We'll have him in tomorrow to explain it.
You're right.
I think I am.
But the photo shoot really looked good.
And we've got your Weenie Roast tickets tomorrow morning on an all-new